Welcome to Heavy Meta, your source for magic news, entertainment, and comedy.
I'm Raging Gumby, and here we got Booze Cube with us to help us, you know, basically we're going to blame him if your card doesn't get picked, but he's here to help select the Booze Cube contest winners, and we also have a special treat. We also have our favorite guest, TSG, who has also brought along a friend who he's cuddling with at the moment. You guys want to say hello?
Hi.
Hi.
Hey, guys. I'm actually down in Santa Cruz with my Cube podcasting co-host, Kyle Eck. No one can accuse me of being here on the regular. I'm not even broadcasting this call. So.
You're not even at home, so they can't even get it. You're fucking upset.
Yeah. I'm in international waters.
I just wandered into this Skype call. I don't even know what happened.
You're basically an accomplice at this point. Like, TSG showed up at your house. He's all, hey, man, I got to be on a fucking podcast, but this shit's on the fucking download. So I'm going to use your computer, I'm going to use your microphone, and we're going to share a headset.
To track the my IP address.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I fucking
possible
love
deniability,
it.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Well, not now. It's recorded.
Shit. I didn't think of that part.
And we all know that fucking I am not the best at editing. So Maddie needs to come back.
I guess we should have announced that in the beginning too. Maddie is still on his spirit quest with the mother goddess beaver.
The mother goddess.
The mother beaver goddess, whatever you want to call it. I'm not from Canadians, so I don't follow through with that.
No, I actually, in talking to Maddie, Maddie's got a lot of stuff he's got going on. We're not going to get into, like, all his stuff. But Maddie is actually going to have to be – basically had a choice. He's either got to be on hiatus till after Vegas or not make it to Vegas. And so he did the obvious and decided he's going to make it to Vegas. So basically, you know, David and I and all of you SVU motherfuckers and all of our friends out there are holding down the fort until Maddie gets back. So just to kind of give you guys a heads up, that's where we're sitting right now. Got to wish Maddie all the love in the world because he's working his fucking ass off and dealing with all sorts of other shit on top of it. So we fucking love that guy, and he will be back. He's just busy as hell right now. So enough being nice. We got this whole fucking thing to figure out, right? We got the fucking Booze Cube contest.
Yeah. Words. No, we left. You talk too long.
I'll just keep going.
I'm getting a drink.
I was looking at the Booze Cube cards today and yesterday. Obviously, I haven't been as in the circle as far as this stuff recently, believe it or not. So I was trying to catch up. I'm more of a Simplicity fan overall, but I do like a majority of the submissions. It reminds me of how shitty my Photoshop skills are, especially Casey's. Hers is a great photo in combination with well-done graphic design work.
Uh-huh.
And then, like, other ones are, like, notepad text on top of a card that's already existing with, like, a cut-and-paste picture on it.
That's more what I would have done.
So you got both sides, like.
Well, yeah, exactly. That's more what I would have done. I would have submitted mine like that. I would have just scribbled something and then scanned it in on my scanner and called it a graphic.
Some of these are literally, like, the iPhone Notes app typed up and then screenshotted.
Exactly.
Like,
but that also, you got to look at it this way. Like, in the Booze Cube, that brings some fucking flavor to it. Like, if that's the art of the fucking card.
I mean, if you were drafting and see a sheet of paper, I mean,
as a one-off, that might be.
Yeah, you're like, look at this pack. Like, okay, card, binder note. Okay, like.
Exactly. Some of them need to have, like, some rings on them. You know, some, like, fucking, like, drink sweat rings on them. I think that just brings so much more flavor to the fucking Booze Cube. But I got to start off by saying through all of this shit, like, I know we said this fucking last time we did one of these contests, but I fucking mean it. It's Jesus fucking Christ. You guys are all really good at this. And we got to stop doing fucking contests like this because it is hell to try to figure out who wins.
Yeah, no, seriously, there was over 50 entries into the contest, and we had to narrow it down to essentially 8, like four that, like the top four, which that was even real hard, like to try and get it to 8 was difficult enough, and then to try and separate those 8 into 4 that got prizes, and then the 4 that just, you know, get their card printed, is it's really, really tough.
God, it was ridiculous.
Yeah, it's, and you know, like.
It was a scramble.
Yeah, it was a scramble, and like we had to try and take ourselves out of, you know, the equation, because you know some of you guys are really good at stroking our egos, which we, you know, some well, more yeah, than others know. Are you know drawn
those
to.
Those are the ones that won.
Yeah, we're just gonna throw that out there. No, you know, it's difficult to do all of that, but luckily we have Booze Cube and TSG and Ek on here to help round out. Input and whatnot, and you guys just did an amazing job. Like, these were so fun to go through.
Oh, God. We have burned literally an hour just talking about how to not hurt anyone's feelings and make sure everyone gets included this time around.
Yeah.
To be honest, 30 minutes of that was trying to get
participation ribbon or something going forward.
Yeah, I think we devoted a half an hour to deciding, and then the other half an hour was trying to figure out how the internet and Skype works.
That is true. But you do bring up a good point that, like, we have – there's not only we have – we're doing the top 8 is what finally ended up getting decided. The top 8 are all getting their cards done by the fucking wonderful and talented proxy guy. And those of you that make it to Vegas will get it presented personally from him. Those of you that don't will have to ship it out to you. And so the top 8 are getting their Booze Cube card printed up all fucking nice and spiffy-like. And then the top 4 were just doing a fucking prize split, because the last thing I wanted to do was try to argue over who out of the top 4 had a better card than the one before that. I was like, fuck that. You're all prize splitting whether you know it or not. So we've got fucking a prize package that's equal across the top 4 that you'll get on top of your card. But the whole participation ribbon type thing, and what's sweet about this whole fucking thing is that the main focus of this Booze Cube contest was to incorporate shit into it, basically make cards that need to go into the Booze Cube, not like completely stroke our egos and make Kevin Metal as a card, but more we need ideas that go into the Booze Cube that'll actually fit and have synergy or take up a lacking area. And so what Scott had told us, you know, when we launched this contest and still holds true, is any of these cards that he deems worthy, and there were a fucking ton of them, that he wants to put into the next Booze Cube expansion, you get an artist credit for it. There were some of them that we found that as we were going through, it's like, fuck, man, these are right on the cusp. It's such a good idea. So, you know, like Scott had said, you know, the concept or the design space that they're getting into is fucking awesome, but the card itself would need to be tweaked, would need to be messed with a little bit, or cards that were right there but just not quite right. Those still all have the opportunity to end up in the Booze Cube. Right?
Yeah, and there's also cards that I wouldn't put them into the cube by themselves or even the specific ability, but they just inspired me to come up. Like, it just opened up a whole new area of just a whole new vein of design space that I can play in. Like, there's
what
a card.
What kind of vein?
Like, you have to tap it a couple times first to make sure it's there. But
oh, I was going for the other vein. I was talking about wiener veins.
I was thinking heroin.
See, and this is why we belong together on a podcast. It's fucking wonderful.
Well, yeah, like, so there's a planeswalker, El Presidente, assigner of drinks, that I think is. I mean, planeswalkers are hard as fuck to design. Like, nothing else compares to designing a planeswalker. But, I mean, I think it's definitely way too powerful as it is. But its -2 ability is exile target creature under a beer. The creature remains exiled as long as the beer is unfinished. And the way that is, like, I'm not sure exactly if I would do it like that, but the design space that it opens is the idea of basically X, like, kind of like an O-ring, except it's until you finish your game beverage, or even putting out a second specific beverage that has to be finished before you get the stuff back.
Oh, that's fucking sweet. I like that.
And that is really cool, and I can use that in multiple ways.
Mm-hmm.
And that's by, oh, fuck, this is Will O'Neill.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Right on.
Like, it's just, it is a really fucking cool idea that
I even saw you tweeting shit that you're just like, this is inspiring me, and you were fucking throwing out cards like your own fucking Booze Cube cards that, like, you were getting inspired through this whole fucking thing. I don't even remember what the fucking card was, but you tweeted a fucking card talking about how this whole thing was giving you ideas.
He added Lucky Top Deck. I actually almost added that to the list, and then I was
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, yeah, look who's that is. This fucker's trying to cheat and get in on his own contest.
Oh, yeah.
No, I actually had my mic muted, and I was trying to talk that whole time and was, like, getting angry that nobody was listening.
Welcome to the club.
Yeah, because I was talking about El Presidente. I was like, yeah, that's a great card. The only problem was that there was, like, no art listed on it, and it was just kind of, like, written out. And I agree with Booze Cube in that it was just a little too powerful, but that whole exile until the game beverage is done is awesome. And of note, there was also Casey was made into a planeswalker, which was really cool, but I think it was a little off-balanced, especially like the last ability, I think, was the ultimate was too early because it was a three-drop planeswalker that could ultimate in two turns and made a 6-6 every turn.
Yeah, I mean, like something like that. I mean, you look at Kiora, and that's kind of your model of what that kind of effect would be, and yeah, it's... It was just way too early.
Yeah, it was like a mixture of Kiora and a Johnny Vengeant. I just thought, like, for one, the ultimate needed to be a little bit higher. And then two, especially since it's referring to, you know, Matt, it should have been a legendary token. And that means that it doesn't, you know, stockpile. Essentially, it just there's always that 6-6 on the board. Like, it was stuff like that. There was certain cards that if they had been, designed like to be a little less powerful. And then there were certain ones that was just like, why would anybody ever play this? It just, it's flavorful, but it's not powerful. It's not going to win you any games. So why would you play it?
And one of the things Scott mentioned in the pre-show is exactly that. Like, I mean, fucking like card design and card development are two different fucking departments. And, you know, at times development takes as much time, if not longer, to develop those cards as it does to design the cards. And so that's where I think a lot of it – that's why, again, we tried to encourage you guys, because we learned from the last contest that if we gave you longer and had you post them on Twitter and got feedback and then took that feedback and revised the cards and stuff, we, you know, came out with better cards altogether. And that's a big part of it too. There were so many, again, that were real close – not quite there, and then they didn't get, you know, fixed, or they didn't get revised, or they just need a lot, especially like you guys are saying with planeswalkers, those are going to take more time to revise those things and to basically develop them. So again, basically, to throw fucking Scott under the bus, any of you guys that are, you know, that really, you know, like, you know, maybe you didn't win, maybe your card was off balance a little bit and it needs to be tweaked and fixed, you hit up the Booze Cube on Twitter. He's a fucking nice guy. He's a fucking great guy. And, you know, see what goes on with it. Be like, oh, hey, man, I like this idea. Is there anything I could do to kind of tweak it and change it? And you guys can open up a dialogue on how to maybe get that card included, you know. And I think that helps you a lot, too, Scott, is where we were talking about when you were on last time. You know, you're fucking busy. You got fucking, you have your work, you have a fucking new kid, you know, you got a lot of shit going on, so you don't have all the time in the world to sit here and design cards. But if you can bounce ideas back and forth off of people, that's going to help. You got your own fucking R&D department.
Yeah,
SVU exactly. R&D that's department.
Yeah, that's exactly how I'm seeing this. I mean, like, there's some, and, you know, also, if people want to play with some of these cards and give me feedback on how it actually plays, I definitely appreciate that. There's a card I'm going to have to go back and fix from the last Booze Cube. Actually, is the original one. I'm trying to avoid cards that basically say, drink a bunch, I win.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, Bourbon Entity, I think, is the one that I have to go back and fix, because that's basically... You can just basically make a fucking 20/20 by drinking a beer or two.
We've house rule fixed that card, and I wish that I could tell you what the fix was, But every time that card's come up and we're like, oh yeah, this is the house rule, I still end up drinking a lot, and I never remember how we fixed it. But yeah, that's kind of one of those things where like house, I have like the original fucking, you know, version of it in my booze cube, and it's like, oh shit, we've got to fix this one, because yeah, that's just like all sweet. I'll just drink and win the game. Now I just drink and don't win the game.
Yeah. So, if you like now, whenever I do booze cube, mm-hmm. I have a piece of paper and a pencil, and I write the shit down because I know I'm not going to remember shit otherwise.
That's a fucking smart idea. And that's actually, you know, leading into the whole, like, if you guys want to test these things, another thing, like, I started to try to do last night, but I just had too much shit going on, and I'm too fucking technologically fucking stupid. Like, I wanted to try to take all of these and throw just, like, a fucking gallery together, like, the actual fucking image of the card, throw a gallery together and throw it up online so that, one, today we could try to make sure everybody's, you know, submission was there, but at the same time, I just it couldn't get done, so I just tried to tweet the hell out of it. But one thing I'd still like to do with these is just make a gallery, throw it up somewhere. Scott, I don't know if that's something, because you have the format of like the way you have the booze cube set up with the print sheets. I don't know how difficult that would be to do for you to set up something like that.
It's a little time consuming just because I print to a file, but then I have to change that print out it's a little bit of a process.
And even at that, we don't even need to go that far with it, but like, for example, something like that where we have a gallery, just even if they're not set up for the right size, if we can just throw together a gallery, which I'll try to work on, and maybe one of you people that's way better at fucking this internet stuff than I am, just throw a gallery of them up. That way we can fucking tweet that link out there. It'll be there. Cause I know me, for instance, there's a lot of these cards I want to throw in to my booze cube, regardless winners or not. Like, I want them in my booze cube because they're fucking sweet and I'd like to try to work with them. And then we can do the same thing, kind of work on them, see what needs to change, if anything, see how it works out and actually play test with it. So, I'll work on that, or I'll get you motherfuckers working on that. To try to get some sort of gallery of like all these entries together, because last thing I want to do is have any of these like really good ideas slip through the cracks, especially for those of you out there that like play the booze cube a lot like I do. I definitely want to get a lot of these cards in there. So that being said, we should move on to something besides booze cube.
That's ridiculous.
Fucking winners. Yeah, this is ridiculous.
All right, so do we want to like jump into the top eight, or do we want to do some honorable mentions first? Or
I think we should just fucking do the top eight, and we can do the fucking basically
nine through fifteen.
we'll do the bottom four, and then we'll do the top four that get the prizes. So
all right.
You've actually got the list.
I've got the list written down. Since these are not like 8 through 5, because we didn't like list them like that. There was 4 that were the ones that got prizes, and then there was the 4 that got their cards printed. So this is in no particular order. One of the ones is it's Blind Man's Bluff from Paper Shaman. Their cards are gonna get printed, and
Should we go through at least for these top?
We gotta talk about what the card does. Yeah.
Yeah, we'll go through and fucking pop those up. I'm just trying to bring up the list of the cards because I've just got like the names of them.
Yeah.
Unless you have the list in front of you for this one.
Well, I have the list of the cards. I don't have, you know, the. I think this one is one red, and I think it's 3 or 4 colorless. I think it's 4. No, it's 3. Okay, and each player exiles the top card of his or her library and puts the card to his or her forehead facing outwards, essentially, you know, like Blind Man's Bluff. And then it has Will of the Council, and then starting with you, whoever cast it, each player votes to cast or pass. And if the cast gets more votes, then each player casts the exiled card without paying its mana cost. And if pass gets more votes or the vote is tied, you return Blind Man's Bluff to its owner's hand. So eventually, you look at everybody else's card, and you can't see your own, and you have to make a vote depending on that, because you don't know whether you have a land or you know, some awesome spell.
Well, you know, the picture is perfect. It just sums it up perfectly.
Yeah, it's got Emrakul attached to his head, and he's like, you know, is it Emrakul or is this the plains in my land? I'm saying from that guy's perspective, he knows Emrakul's in his deck, but he doesn't know whether that's Emrakul. This card is just super flavorful. It's really fun. It has the whole element of multiplayer in it, where, you know, it involves everyone in the game. One is clearly, like, really was high on the list for everybody.
I really like how it got into that stuff, like, you know, that Scott was talking about before with the whole, like, hey, let's, he likes he's got the arm wrestle card. He's got, you know, coin flip game, like games that are fun that maybe involve drinking, maybe don't, but it just brings like a whole nother little kind of side thing into, the booze cube itself. So that was a big fucking flavor win, and the card looks fun as shit to play.
Yeah, okay, and so then the next one, and for this one, you guys are going to have to help me, because apparently this card was taken down due to some, you know, worries that the employers might find it, but it's Mary Fuck Kill, the card based upon that fun Twitter hole game. You guys are going to have to help me.
That one was Nathan Weber. Okay. He just pulled the card down from
completely understandable. He doesn't want to be a Senator Wiener and have his tweets ruin his career.
Now let me make sure that, like, hopefully this, like, the image that I have, because he DM'd us about it, and he's just like, oh hey, I want to make sure and submit this, but I just had to pull it off my Twitter feed. So I don't know if there were any revisions after this. Maybe you guys can catch me. Scott, I know you talked to him a little bit about it. If I state this wrong, but this is going off of like the card that he posted in there. We got Mary Fuck Kill, red, black, blue, and one. Grixis colors in one. It's an instant. And it says choose one. Gain control of target creature until end of turn. Untap that creature, and it gains haste until end of turn. Put a token onto the battlefield that's a copy of target creature, or destroy target creature. And the flavor text on it is, I guess that means I marry Rosie O'Donnell.
I think that's a direct quote from one of us on one of those answers.
I'm pretty sure it is. I just couldn't remember which one of us it was.
I can't remember either. It was quite drunk.
And this, oh my god, the art on this is fucking amazing.
Yeah, isn't it Honey Boo Boo's mom or whatever, like running in a rainbow or something like that?
Yeah, running through a rainbow with some sort of life preserver or something.
Yeah. All right, so
Nathan Weber, that was fucking, that was him. That's what, two of the
That's two. The next one is from at GU Doug. And it's Dude, Where's My Cards?
Oh my god, this card is like, looks like so much fucking fun to play, and extra points because he's just all, whatever, fuck this, I'm not even gonna make it look like a magic card, I'm gonna make it look
It look like a fun proxy. It's got some blurry image of a dude with a blindfold or something over his face, drinking from the bottle. It's a 4-cost colorless artifact, and its text is, at the beginning of each player's draw step, that player puts the cards in his or her hand on the bottom of his or her library in any order, then draws that many cards, and you can also drink 2 per card to prevent this effect. So now,
it's gonna be so fun.
Yeah, the thing is though, is I think you have to drink 2 for each card in your hand to prevent it if you want to. You can't do it for specific cards from the way it reads now, so that's right. Gonna have to be figured out afterwards.
I think that's probably more balanced than letting you pick and choose.
I think so too. I just wanted to establish that right away. Based on that text, I think that's the way that has to be used. So that card's really fun, super awesome, and that was from at GU Doug. Let me find the last of the 4 that are getting their card printed. Okay, this one is from at Merc Savage, and it is Ban Unban. It is a split card. Ban costs, it's really good. The picture on Ban is a hammer, like looks like Mjolnir from Thor. It just says Ban on it. It's the Ban hammer. It costs 3 black. It's an instant and is destroy target creature or planeswalker, and then you have to drink equal to its converted mana cost. And then the other side, which is white, is Unban, which is a sorcery, and it's 1 colorless, 3 white, and return target creature or planeswalker from your graveyard into play, and you drink equal to its converted mana cost. So this card's really, really fun. It's something that's really needed in the cube. Oh, and the art for that one, by the way, is Macho Man Randy Savage elbow-dropping Jesus. So there's that.
Unbanned!
Yeah, unbanned. For me, like, this card just, it's really needed in the cube. It's
absolutely
great removal. Mm-hmm. It's flavored really well. I think it's balanced really well, you know, drinking to the converted mana cost, so it kind of balances depending on what you're getting back. The mana...
The planeswalker side of the removal is a huge thing, too, because planeswalkers are a motherfucker to get rid of in the booze cube.
Outside of attacking it, yeah.
Right, exactly. And they can be... And I mean, the way Booze Cube games go, the way I've always found it is the way the Booze Cube games go, usually, you know, a lot of times it's multiplayer, and a lot of times you got big board states, and fucking trying to get through to that thing is a son of a bitch. Yeah. And, I mean, shit, you can even do that yourself if you need to. Like, I mean, shit, there's times where I've had Captain Morgan out. I've had the whole Captain Morgan clause going on me where it's like, son of a bitch, I can't stop talking like a pirate or I'm fucked. And this is a good way to stop talking like a pirate.
Well, you still can't kill an emblem, though.
Yeah, what's no.
Oh, no, shit!
Yeah, doesn't get around that. I know.
Ban it. I don't even want the garden anymore.
All right.
No, but yeah, planeswalkers are a bitch to get rid of, so that one was fucking really important.
Yeah, so that was the last of the four that we're not in the top four, but were still awesome and great, and we wanted them in the cube. And so congrats to at GU Doug. At Merc Savage, at Paper Shaman, and at Nathan Weber, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, your four cards are going to be printed out and will be definitely in the booze cube. So
they'll be they'll be printed out and they'll be given to you. That's the thing is Proxy Guy is gonna hook those fucking things up.
Yeah, yeah, they're gonna get a copy of their own card.
Right. If you're making it to Vegas, you'll get a copy of it. If you're not going to make it to Vegas, we will make arrangements to have that motherfucker sent to your door. So the same goes for the next four, the people that actually got the top four, but they also get some cool shit on top of it.
They get a smorgasbord of prizes.
Smorgasbord. And shit, we'll break right in between here to let them know what they get. So I went through, we're trying to get the whole prize thing figured out for this, and we basically landed on what we've got. We've got some cool shit from Scott from Sign and Blood.
Yeah, huge shout out to him and his company. Yeah.
The top four are going to each get a playmat from Sign and Blood and one of their sweet-ass fucking spell books, which are the fucking shit. I love them to death. Your little life pad, total fucking thing.
I keep meaning to get one, and I haven't got it yet. I need to do that.
Good. They're fucking so sweet. I love them. Oh, and I don't even play competitive Magic that often.
And he can't do math, so it's really just a doodle. Yeah.
It's just there for me to draw shit on. but yeah, those spell books are fucking sweet. So Scott was kind enough to cough up a playmat for each of the top four and a spell book for each of the top four. David, we're trying to figure out, like, part of what we're going to do, David was going to throw in on this.
I'm going to throw cards in, and I asked you guys for input, and you guys didn't say shit. And so we're trying to make it all even, and then the problem with that is trying to find a playset of cards that I think everybody would be interested in, and you know that I can just you know give out without losing you know out on
thousands of dollars.
Not thousands of dollars. Sometimes it's just a matter of like you know those cards. I can have extras of a lot of different cards that I can give out, but a playset is much different. But not just that, just finding a playset that I think would be great for this. So what we came up with is I'm going to come up with basically like a grab bag of cool cards and fun stuff. Like one that I know for sure is I'm going to have Kevy sign some lightning bolts. You guys are all going to get a signed Kevy metal lightning bolt. You know, stuff like that. It's going to be fun. It's going to be cool.
We got to figure out what card. Needs to
yes, yes. Figure out what card you want me to sign, and a playset of those will get thrown in there. And don't say Goyf, because fuck you guys, all right? I'm not that drunk yet.
You might be at the end of the cast.
Yeah, so I'm going to be including that in the prizes. And then the other thing that Kevy is supplying is he's going to supply $25 of store credit to face-to-face games. So that's going to be included. And am I missing something?
Blowjays.
Booze Cube. Booze Cube is giving those out.
He's that's volunteering.
That's contribution.
I was volunteering too.
I like how that's all it took for him to turn it around. We're like, oh shit. Wait, no, never mind. Not blowies.
Nope, no blowies.
Well, one of the things too, and this one's kind of out there. As I was going through trying to get figure out some prizes and stuff like that, we've got a lot of friendly companies that, you know, we are homies with, kind of thing. Eric from Puka Trade and I were talking back and forth, and he definitely said he wanted to contribute to this. But we've had some problems bouncing back and forth as far as like getting in contact with each other. So at this point, like as we're recording this, I still hadn't heard back anything solid from him, but I know he's very interested in adding to this. So we might even get you some Puka Trade nonsense going on too, on top of what's here. But as it is, you get a spell book, you get your card done, you get a playmat, you get some fucking cards from David, and you get $25 store credit at Face to Face from me.
And you get your card.
And you get your card done. As far as the Face to Face credit goes, well, basically for all of this, the top four, just hit us up and we'll get you figured out. If you don't have a Face to Face Games like account, you can like just fucking make one real quick, and then KYT will take care of the rest of it. We'll get the names to him, and he'll put the credit in your account, and then you can order shit from him. So then, with that being said, here's your prizes, motherfuckers. Now yep. On to who wins them.
All right, so now to the top four. The first one on the list, this one is at Dr. Jeebus Party Foul. I think this one was like unanimous on all of our lists. It's funny because it's not really like super powerful. It's not a crazy mythic card. This card just does everything that we wanted in the card. Like the picture is like a chicken with a beer on its wing. Like it's super fun looking. It's one red. It's a 1/1, and it's like Goblin Fire Slinger, but for Booze Cube. All you do is you tap it, and everybody drinks one. So in
Which is
Booze
so
Cube,
important.
Yeah, there's a lot of cards that require you to drink, but if you don't have anything to, you know, as an engine to get drinks. You're stuck with it in your hand until you can make that happen. So this is a really good...
I think that's a huge misconception with the Booze Cube, because a lot of people, like, especially people that aren't, like, versed in, like, playing it, one of the things that people the most is it's like, oh, well, you know, if you have an ability, it's like, you know, whenever you drink or whenever you have to drink. And people kind of assume, well, you're playing Booze Cube, you're drinking all the fucking time. Or it'll be like, oh, sweet, all I have to do is drink one to activate that ability. And that's how it happens. I mean, you can drink all you want to while you're playing the fucking Booze Cube, but unless there's an instance that makes you drink, it doesn't work. It doesn't count. And I don't know how many times I've been sitting there, probably shouldn't be drinking anymore anyway, yet I can't find a way to make me drink in order to make X happen or to make fuck to trigger this ability for me to be able to do it. And I find myself digging through my goddamn it's like not having a sack outlet when you it's like can't just throw the creature in your graveyard. You need to have the game have you do it. And this is such a fucking enabler. It's awesome. And it fit in perfect right where we need it. Flavor wise, again, like David said, it but that's not what we're looking for this time. You know, it was like things that need to be this is fucking perfect for it.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, like, from a developer perspective, I got even a little bit more powerful, like, in that I'd probably make it a hybrid red-white. Because Groot Drink is in white primarily. I mean, that's, like, white's thing, where this is red. But red does, you know, targeted drinking, and blue does targeted drinking. Blue is, like, probably... Blue is primary... targeted drinking, white is primary and drinking, and red is sort of tertiary in both.
Okay.
So I'd probably do it a hybrid white. I'll probably move it to hybrid red. But yeah, it is something that you have tapped already that it's just a one man artifact, tap, all players drink. This is kind of the same thing, but redundancy is great. And yeah, it's perfect. It's very elegant and does what you need.
Yeah, exactly. I think that one was pretty unanimous on our lists there as just very, very well done. It met all the criteria and what we were looking for in the contest. All right, so the next one, and I hate this guy, so this is at X Wolf Moon, Xenagos Blood Moon here. He came up with Elder Frat Boy. It's 2 white, 3 colorless for a 5/3 frat boy. And the text is, all other frat boys get +1/+1. You must refer to all other players as bro or a variation of bro, like bro name, if bro, you know, Montana, so on and so forth, as long as you control elder frat boy. If you fail to refer to another player as bro, chug a beer. And its flavor text is, lots of people go to college for 7 years, which this is my only thing with this card is it really needed the rebuttal in the flavor text. It really needed that, yeah, they're called doctors. So that's the only thing, like, that's the only fault I could find in this whole fucking card. Because I guess I should also mention the art, which is Tommy Boy holding a beer in college.
In his rugby jersey.
Yeah, in his rugby jersey. So, I mean, this one, it just, like the last card, it hit all of the things. You know, Booze Cube mentioned that he wanted cards that interacted with other aspects of the Booze Cube, you know, like the bottles or the frat boys and so on and so forth. And so this one, just power level, flavor-wise, everything about it was fun. I think that this one was a home run.
Yes, I agree 100%. This one was a good fucking card.
Boo Scoob, you have anything to add?
Nothing really. I mean, it hits it, just, it's perfect.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. All right, well, high praise from the Boo Scoob himself. All right, let me find the other cards here.
You want to go to Fort Kickass?
Yeah, we can go to Fort Kickass. That one is from, and like, this guy had to be in the top. I mean, he submitted probably like 15 of the 50 some odd cards, and there was a bunch of great ones. Like, I really liked, I mean, I guess we can get into some of the honorable mentions afterwards, but yeah, this is Bruce Lee at reserve list. This was probably
this motherfucker's always on it too.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
His reserve list card that he did last time, and he kind of resubmitted for this one, like the last contest. Like, I love that fucking card. That card is fucking hilarious, and it's fucking awesome, and it seems fun as shit to play. And that one didn't even win out.
That one's on my honorable mention list as well. But yeah, Fort Kickass. This is once again talking to Booze Cube. The only thing that we'd change about this is maybe the colored mana requirements for it. But other than that, like, it's one colorless, one white, one black artifact. And the picture, the art is Dr. Krieger from Archer sitting behind his wall of booze, his Fort Kickass. And the text is, bottle creatures you control have vigilance and do not recognize your opponent's authority. Whenever a player takes a shot, chugs a beer, or finishes their game beverage, put a 1/1 artifact bottle creature token into play. And
Trinket text?
Yeah, the trinket text. You may assert your dominance by placing all your empty beverage containers in a wall around your board space. So,
well, the trinket text on this would also be the bottle creatures do not recognize your opponent.
Oh, yeah, I guess that's more trinket text than anything.
Yeah.
That is fucking amazing.
And after rereading that, I almost feel like I want this, at least in my house, instead of at the bottom saying you may assert your dominance, I also think that I'm just going to fucking scribble out may.
Yeah, just assert your dominance by placing
you
all.
Have to
yeah,
put it's a all requirement. Your around your fucking yeah. Space.
I think that particular thing might actually merit its own card.
Yeah, I mean, this card is just fun.
Very
possible. It's awesome. It like you said, like we said with the last card, it really works with the existing, you know, the bottle, you know, the bottle creature tokens and whatnot. So it really just integrates itself into the Booze Cube already, and it's you know, it's, how can you not enjoy this card? I mean,
that's one of the things that he had mentioned too, is like, that, you know, like the artifact deck is kind of weak, but like the artifact deck has kind of that fucking bottle theme going on, but this just not only like adds to the Booze Cube altogether in so many good fucking ways, but that also, one more thing it does is helps out with that fucking,
yeah,
you know, making the artifact deck and the bottle deck viable.
Yeah, I totally forgot about that criteria, which is, you know, another reason why, like, Blind Man's Bluff was included in there.
Right.
You know, Booze Cube had mentioned that the artifacts were kind of weak and wanted cards that, you know, help that out. So that's another reason why Fort Kickass is high up on our list. Okay, so the last cards, and one of my personal favorites, simply because it's punny, it's meant, you know, it refers to my heritage, it's just all around awesome and fun, it's Dublin Season. Spelled
this
like.
This is one of the first ones I said. Like, I was just like, oh yeah, this one's really good. This one's probably going to be a contender, and it is.
Yeah, this is at Mana Dorks card at Matt Hansen. It's Dublin season, Dublin, as in Dublin, Ireland. Same mana cost, one green, four colorless enchantment, and effectively does the same thing while also effectively making you drink twice as much as well. And huge flavor points for me for the Oscar Wilde flavor text. Moderation is a fatal thing. Nothing succeeds like excess.
This one was fucking straight up the middle for me. I was like, this is fucking perfect. This is a like... That's what stood out to me the most. Yeah, in a lot of ways, it's kind of a functional reprint of a fucking existing Magic card. But this, had I not known any better, if I saw this while drafting the Booze Cube, I would have thought that fucking Scott put it in there himself. This is exactly the way the Booze Cube works.
Yeah, this card is so, like, it, you know, it's like you said, it is essentially, you know, Tor from doubling season, but... in such a way that it's fun, it's awesome, you know, it's punny, and, you know, and also includes Booze Cube by adding the doubling of the drinks. Like, it's just, it's super fun. I can't wait to cast this. I mean...
Mm-hmm. And it brings a lot of, like, that doubling of the drinks, that, I think what stuck out for me is the doubling of the drinks part isn't just, it doesn't stop, they're like, oh, okay, cool, this is doubling season, and then you have to drink on top of it. It's the fact that doubling drinks changes a lot of things. It changes the dynamic a lot. You know, how many – there are cards that specify, like, how many drinks a certain person took this past turn, or if they took more or less than this amount of drinks. And that really can change things, too. It's not just stapling drinking onto a fucking reprint, which is one of the big things that – I want to make sure people understand is, you know, sometimes the Booze Cube needs functional reprints of a Magic card, and you have to kind of add it to it, but you can't just staple drink onto it because right. That just doesn't work.
And what's great about this is, like you said, you know, it's not – it just staples drinking. It changes, like, you know, drink N. It changes the N itself, so it doesn't create more instances of drinking. It functionally changes the specific instance, which can have a lot of consequences.
Right.
Yeah, this card is really, really fun, really awesome. And like I said, I think just these cards, it came down to the ones that just felt right. They felt, you know, like just it, once you put them in, they fit with other cards. They increase the functionality of other cards, and you know. But that being said, like those are the four prize winners. There were tons and tons that.
Oh God, yeah. We had
were
to
so fun.
It out.
There's ones that I think that really need to be in Booze Cube. You know, like for instance, Blackout. That's one that I would say was real close to being in the top eight. If it was me, I think that would be in my top eight. There was some that Booze Cube really wanted in, and obviously his opinion counts much more than mine. Blackout is one of the ones that, to me, would have been in the top eight because I really think that needs to be a card. It's really simple. It's really elegant. It matches well with everything. It's, you know, a really, really clever Booze Cube card.
Bartender's Insight was one of the ones for me from the
that's proxy guy, right? Yeah, his card.
Yeah,
I think that's the
it's top shelf three. It's
a new mechanic, and that one with me is awesome. But I think that one's one of those ones that it really needs to be worked on balance wise before it really needs to be tinkered with and found to be the sweet spot. Like that one just doesn't seem. Which obviously when you're including a new mechanic that stands to reason, it doesn't seem as tuned and,
right. And
proper with
the
mana cost and everything.
It could be tuned up well. Scott, I don't know if you're even familiar with this one, if you missed it or not altogether. It's Bartender's Insight. It's two blue and two. It's a sorcery, and it has top shelf three, and it says to top shelf three, drink three, look at the top three cards of target player's library, put them back in any order, put them on top. Wait, shit, sorry.
Essentially, your fate sealing. Fate sealing.
It's basically marrying Fate Seal and Scry, it looks like.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah, you're fate sealing your opponent three, essentially.
Well, you can do it to your own library, too.
Yeah, I mean, I like that. Like, I've been working, actually, in the expansion... I've been playing around with a mechanic. It wasn't, or it wasn't a keyword. It was like an ability word, you know, like with italicized, called Top Shelf, where it you got a bonus if you were drinking a particular type of beverage. So like it would be like Top Shelf, and then do X. But if you're drinking whiskey, do 2X or get or draw a card.
Oh, okay, okay. Cool.
So
I like that.
I like this flavor wise, like in terms, it's a really good fit also for like Top Shelf.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're looking at the top of the library. Yeah, and I love the art. I mean, it's definitely it's a really cool art.
Yeah.
I definitely like the concept of it. I like the idea of. Yeah, like one, it being versatile in the fact that it's like you or your opponent, so it you can use it in different situations. If you need to, basically, what is that, like brainstorm if you do it to yourself? I'm fucking retarded. I don't like blue cards, but I like this one. You look at your top three and put them back in fucking any orders, top and bottom of your library, I believe. Shit, I lost.
Yeah, top or bottom. Yeah. It's top, yeah, or, top bottom. Or bottom. Yeah, like to me, this one, it just needed to be balanced a little bit more. I think the card's great. Another one that was...
Huge shout out to the proxy guy, by the way, on making that expansion symbol.
Oh, yeah, that expansion symbol. And also perfect. Huge shout out to him because he's the one that's making the cards for the top eight. So, like...
that guy gets lots and lots and lots of shout outs.
And he deserves them. So, like, that's why he gets
And
him.
I finally, we get to fucking meet the guy.
I know, I'm excited about that.
Scott, I'm sorry you don't get to, because you're not.
Yeah,
it's because you're a quitter. all right, so some of the other ones, like Walk into a Fire Hydrant, I think that one was.
Flavor on that was fucking
exactly
sweet.
Like, and that one was really, really close because that met a lot of the requirements that were asked about, and more of specifically like Booze Cube was talking about. I think we brought up the card that's very similar to that, like the Eye Gouge or whatnot.
Eye Gouge.
And then there were some that were like really, really close, like Goblin Guide. That one was on a lot of our lists. Yeah. That one was really, really, really good. Let's see. What's another one that was really, really close? There was a couple that just felt not quite balanced enough, but like, or almost too powerful. Like Party Rager was one of the ones that I just felt like it needed to be toned down a little bit, or else it's just way too strong. Like, I think I even – somebody suggested – I think it was Usman suggested, that it has to attack every turn included onto it.
Yeah.
Which would have made it feel much more balanced because then you don't have as much time to really abuse all of the text on it because it's really fragile. So that one was really high up on me for my list, but it just seemed a little imbalanced. Alcoholic Pyromancer, similar feel. Mm-hmm.
Another one.
Yeah, and then I think
that would be pretty easy to fix, though. Like, all you'd have to do is change the threshold to, like, if a player drinks – right now, it's just, if a player drinks, you put a token. You could do it where if a player drinks three.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, I totally agree. That's why I'm mentioning these cards, because I don't think it takes that much. Like, another one is Dalton the Cooler. I was talking to the person that designed that card about it. I think that it's almost like the way it was built, it's like it's too powerful. Even with its restrictive mana cost, it's almost like a 3-for-1 every time you cast it, because you're going to ambush a creature and kill it because it's a 4/4 first strike with flash, and then you're going to destroy another creature that's attacking because that's its freaking ability, and then you're going to have a 4/4 first strike on the field that somebody's going to have to invest in resources to get rid of. So it just felt really, really strong the way it was. To me, like, the way I would play that one off is don't give it flash and then change the text to destroy target creature that attacked last turn. You know, kind of like a bouncer throwing out somebody who had started some shit. Seems like it would take the power level down a little bit while also still fitting the flavor of the card. Another one
that I got stuck on where it was like another card I love, and I want to put both of these into my fucking cube, but like kind of the problem with them was they were there, but like the Metal Burper.
Yeah.
And, What is the other? I can't find it on the
list.
The
one, the one for me that it would be a winner if like it was just me judging this because I freaking love The Princess Bride. But Vicini, Criminal Mastermind.
Was fucking
holy
awesome.
Crap! Like that card is so fun. It's flavorful. It does cool things. It's, you know, got a lot of randomness to it, and you know, just the picture, the flavor, the text, everything on it. If it was me deciding all of this, that would have gotten prizes. Like,
oh yeah, that's another one. That's another one I was really into. And again, we basically just had to fucking try our asses off to narrow it down. Because yeah, there's so many of them. Like that one's.
All I have to say is like, I know that me and Mana Dork would get along because his two cards, which is Dublin Season and Vizzini Criminal Mastermind, it's two of my favorite submissions. Like they're so awesome. Yeah, fine. Like we would do just fine. We would get drunk on Irish whiskey and watch The Princess Bride and you know, just be cool as shit together.
You'd, like, hug together, like, share a headset, like, fucking Ek and TSG.
Yeah, Ek and TSG. I think they've fallen asleep together, honestly.
No, we're still here.
They're just waiting for the part of the show where we're not talking about the Booze Cube anymore.
Yeah, I figured. I just thought I'd throw that out there.
Another one I want to throw out there that I was really into that I like, that I kind of like to throw into my cube regardless, is that Deranged Redeemer from Steamflogger Josh. It's a green and white hybrid. It's a 1/2, but whenever a player finishes their drink, put 2/1/1 counters on it. There's lots of ways that it's not overdone. It's not too powerful, but there's lots of ways that can be a very fucking powerful creature in the Booze Cube. And yet it's, you know, it costs one and it's a hybrid fucking mana, a green and a white. I think that's another fucking good honorable mention that I really was digging. There's just so many fucking cards in here that are like so good, and like we've been saying, there's some of them that are right on the cusp, that could be just a hair better or need to be changed a little bit, toned down to fit into the Booze Cube. It's, man, there's a lot of good fucking submissions, and this is the hardest fucking part of it. Like, is trying to. We don't have enough fucking.
There was money. Close to 60 submissions, and they were like.
We don't have enough money to field prizes for all of the fucking people that deserve to get a prize for this. I guess is what I'm fucking getting.
Yeah, seriously, there are so many great ones. Like, you know,
EMT Ascendant, I think, is one of my favorites that didn't make it.
EMT Ascendant.
He top forward with Forsaken Gas already. So.
With what?
Because that's also reserved list.
Oh yeah, yeah.
But this is definitely one of my favorites. It's, I mean, it probably needs a little bit of development. I mean, I don't know.
I think it's paying homage, you know, to a certain person, so it should be legendary.
Fucking Heather's fucking card.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So I think that should be legendary, but. I mean, really, all this just comes down to is there were so many awesome submissions. There was, you know, there was a Bender card. I think that was also Steamflogger Josh.
And another one that, like, the Heavy Meta Crib, fucking, and, like, what was sweet is they were all together, which made it even that much better. But you had fucking the Knights Who Say Knee, the Knights Who No Longer Say Knee, and the Shrubbery.
Oh, yeah. See, that
those
one.
Those cards are fucking sweet.
That was one of those ones that was, like, really imbalanced. But that's one of the ones, like, flavor wise, would have been in my top, like, you know. Because anytime I cast it, I can start quoting Search for the Holy Grail.
Oh, God, yes.
I think there was even one with that mentioned the rabbit, or is that an existing card? I can't remember. Like, there was just so many submissions, and a lot of them were not coming up, because, like, that one I totally spaced, the Shrubbery one, although I wouldn't have been in the top just off of the balancing.
Well, one of the things I noticed, too, is, like, the next time we do this, I swear if we ever do this again, we've got to come up with a better submission or better system for this, because I was able to come up with all of the cards that were submitted, but literally, like, the different ways I searched the Booze Cube hashtag on Twitter, I would come up with different cards. There were times if I put in the Booze Cube on my laptop, like hashtag Booze Cube, search it on Twitter, it would come up with like most of the cards, and then I'd search the same goddamn thing on my phone app on Twitter, and it'd come up with different ones. Or if I've picked all tweets as opposed to like most popular tweets or favorite tweets or whatever, it would come up with different ones. And so I kept having to go through back and forth, so I had a complete list of everything that showed up. And God, we got to come up with a better system for this. But we got through all of them, and fucking, it was really hard to figure out which of these, out of all of these submissions, which of these deserve to get fucking the top eight and the top four. And that's why I definitely, this time I was like, there's no way in hell I'm going to do that and then try to rank them first, second, third, fourth, fifth. No, bullshit. This is hard enough as it was. And so there you guys go. Again, so many good cards. Like, some we haven't even mentioned, but we literally could take another fucking hour talking about all of these fucking submissions and their merits and the things that may need to be changed about them. But here's where we sit. And again, like, a lot of these cards, if they're fucking great cards and they might need a little bit of fucking work, but they need to be in the fucking booze cube anyway. I want to put a lot of these fucking cards into my personal booze cube. And again, if you hit up Scott, the booze cube on Twitter, fucking hit him up and be like, "Oh, hey man, my card, what do you think I could do to change this? What do you think I could do to fucking, fix this up?" And maybe we'll end up throwing it in the fucking booze cube. Or he may be like, "Oh yeah, yours is already one that's going in. That's it.
Yeah.
So others do it."
Yeah. Like, and there's a lot of stuff where I'm gonna have to tweak it, but
well, yeah, even some of the winners we've talked about, like they're right there, they're fucking perfect, but like, you're gonna have to tweak it to fit the booze cube. I'm still yet again blown away by the shit that you guys have turned out. Every time me or Maddie's like, "That's not a fucking contest," we almost regret it just because you guys come with fucking thunder and we're like, "Oh shit, now we got to figure out who won."
And seriously, like, the quality of card submissions this time around is just, it's so much better than last time. And last time was pretty good, but holy fuck, there's some great cards submitted this time.
Yeah, they did an amazing job. Like, I wasn't involved with the last one, but the amount of submissions, like the variety, you had people doing the conspiracy.
Oh god, yeah, some of the conspiracy.
Yeah, from the Direct Damage cast, they submitted some of those. There was Planeswalkers, there was Split Cards, there was Will of the Council, enchantments, artifacts, you guys did everything. Huge shout out to all you guys, and if I missed some of your guys' cards, like, there was a bunch on there that I would have shouted out and talked about, but, we're trying to keep this cast under 5 hours.
We need to move on a little bit. Yeah, that's what I was going to say, too, is, like, don't think if your card didn't get mentioned that it wasn't on one of our lists as one of the top contenders, because that's another thing, and it's kind of what happened last time, too, is, like, there's so many cards that, not got overlooked, but, I fucking loved this card and it was fucking awesome and it was perfect. It was on my fucking list, my short list of the fucking winners, and it just didn't make it. And as far as everybody else went, just because we didn't happen to bring up your card tonight doesn't mean that it wasn't fucking worthy of it. Because I would say literally out of all the submissions, 85 to 90% of them are fucking right there, like either right on the cusp of being there as a fucking winner or definitely going in my booze cube, or already are and just didn't have enough fucking space to have fucking – we don't got fucking SCG money to pay out fucking top 32 and shit. So that being said, we should move past this booze cube fucking topic and we should get into something else that maybe fucking TSG and fucking Eck want to get into. No, that was it. Time's up.
We're gonna all talk right, about booze right.
cube. No, just kidding. I haven't got to interrupt you in a while. It's been a while.
We have been here for a couple hours. We did the painstaking process of making it through all the Boost Cube submissions. And again, I would like to thank everyone that submitted this time around. It can be a laborious process. I know how long you guys labored last time over the entire thing. And Lord knows my Photoshop skills still fucking suck. So I often do not participate.
So basically, this whole thing has been one long interruption, me making up for not being
around. For the last 5 weeks that I haven't been around, you guys have done a very good job of making it look like I've just been being talked over the entire time.
Yeah. Like, nothing is changed.
We can even pretend you kept trying to butt in, but we didn't let you. We'll just add in some sound clips here and there of you just going, it'll be perfect.
Yeah.
It'll be like back in the glory days when you were a host of this cast, and now you're just a lowly guest.
Touche. Well, I do come today with reports of GP Toronto. I did, in fact, see Maddie physically. I saw him.
He's still alive.
Yeah, we only spent about an hour together before he was called back away to the Mother Beaver and all of her requirements for him. But he is personally alive and well. He is just working very hard, and I would imagine we'll be coming back with post-haste. But I got to do the GP experience. I'd like to thank everybody out there that once again made that possible for me. I got to meet a lot of faces that I had heard names of, and dude, it's so hilarious staying next to Maddie when he's like, oh my god, you don't know so-and-so's screen name? Or it's like, how the fuck would I know so-and-so's screen name? He's got like a DERF avatar. I have no fucking idea what this guy looks like. So it's finally nice to meet a lot of those people. I met the midget, for example. It's a good one of like, you know, he's a little bit taller than I originally thought, but he is not full human size.
Yeah, he claims to be a midget, but
he's just really bragging about it on the internet. He's like 4'5", 4'6".
No, so you know, it was fun, and it's difficult to try to transition to talking about actual Magic the Gathering when we've just used the last hour and a half to talk about Booze Cube.
Booze Cube.
But I did get to play all 9 rounds of day one, which is a little brutal because I came in with 0 buys and had to do the entire dance to, and then end up 6-3 at the end of day one to not get to play day two. So the maximum amount of Magic with the minimum amount of payoff.
Did you run it back day two?
Run what back?
Oh, I've done that so many times, TSD. I feel your pain.
No. I went and saw family on Sunday. I had to juggle all that.
Lose your
shit.
Winning in on making day two.
Yeah. Brutal. It's happened to me more times than I'd like to talk about.
Yeah,
but it was fun to be in the trenches. I feel like I got to have the full experience of really nice random opponents who have no idea. You know, I mean, like I played my round two opponent was like the second time he'd ever played physical Magic in his entire life, because he played Moto only, you know, completely with I played against someone so salty. I haven't played against an opponent this salty, and I don't even know how long. It's like, you know, when you go to fill out the match slip and like one person has a pen and your opponent like writes in their game win and then signs it and just hands it to you and puts their own pen away, like that level of salty.
They're like, no, bitch, find your own pen.
Yeah. Sign of the crayon, asshole.
Yeah. Like, whatever it is. But, you know, overall, it was a fun experience. I did play Esper Dragons, and I only had the second level tech. I didn't have the full Silence the Believers / Perilous Vault tech that you can go with. In that circumstance, I had a lot of cards devoted to my sideboard to a mirror match I never actually got to play, despite thinking that that would have been the case. And who knows, if I'd actually gone to the GP in Sao Paulo, it would have been a very different story, because that tournament was won by Esper Dragons.
So the moral story is
you should
have
gone to Sao Paulo.
Yeah, that's what I'm learning from everybody, was right deck, wrong continent. For
There you go.
Yeah, but it was good. I do plan on doing a little bit more of a written breakdown analysis. That was something I did promise people on the GoFundMe page, as well as some video stuff. We did a few logs while we were out there about the experience, talk to a few people, so I'll get that up in the near future. Again, I wasn't sure I'd be able to come here and do a bit more of a debrief, but I in fact get that opportunity, so that's pretty cool.
Hell yeah.
Everyone in Canada, bug the shit out of Maddie. He was given a substantially large stack of the remaining heavy meta tokens. He has them in his possession now. He is a busy man with work, but that's no reason not to tweet at him right now and ask for tokens.
You'd be like, I want tokens, motherfucker!
Exactly. I don't know. I mean, the pace we're going and how busy Maddie is, I don't know if there's going to be anything super special or different for Vegas, so those current tokens may be more of a premium than they were previously.
Yeah, that actually is true. We had plans to try to knock this thing out, you know, we'll get rid of these tokens and then, you know, we'll get something going for Vegas. But, you know, with Tristan's untimely departure, I guess we could call it, and everything that was involved with that. And then with Maddie's vision quest and spider babies and all that stuff that he's got going on. These tokens might be
I think these tokens are it for Vegas in the present circumstances. That being said, I still have quite a few that TSG sent me, so I will be bringing some to Vegas as well. And also, if you want some before Vegas or you're not going to Vegas and you didn't get any, you can tweet at me or whatnot, and I will do my best to get you those.
You should have just made the Boost Cube prizes like 400 tokens.
whoa, we don't have that many.
I don't have that many, yeah.
I don't know what kind of scale we're...
We used to have that many David tokens, but now, all of a sudden, this motherfucker's good at magic. Everybody figured it out. Now we probably got that many Kevy tokens.
No. I think 3-3 Beast is the unfortunate weak link in the chain at this point.
He's not here to talk about it.
Exactly.
So.
It's easy to pick on the guy picking. Who's not here.
Oh, I love it. So, shit, man. I'm glad you got to make it. I saw, you know, some pictures posted, whatnot. Fucking Rico. I saw fucking Rico got to fucking hang out with you. He was talking to me today on fucking on Twitter. Like, we were bullshitting a little about him getting to fucking talk to you, meet you and stuff. And he loves you to death. Fucking, I believe I remember a picture of all of you guys together. I don't know if the Rico and TSG were in the same picture or if it was just two different fucking pictures. But motherfuckers all rocking heavy meta gear, hanging out, having a good time, taking pictures together. And that's what I like to see.
Yeah, it was Rico is actually insane. I mean, he like drove over the border Saturday morning from Detroit to stand in the GP hall for like 2 hours before he had to drive back.
Damn. That's dedication.
Dedication isn't even the right word. Getting into the city, parking there just to like...
Wasn't there like a major freeway overpass closed too? Like, wasn't there a giant pain in the ass driving around?
I'll raise you one actual freeway and not just an overpass. Yeah, the Gardner Expressway.
The whole thing. Okay.
Yeah. No, it's interesting. I hadn't done the 21st century GP experience myself, let alone had I truly prepared for the out of the country GP with the no cell phone coverage, so you have to try to find people the old fashioned way. Where it's like, where the fuck is that person?
I don't know.
But it was interesting for me. I feel like I tried to go do the full experience. Like I tried the VIP. I tried.
What?
Hello?
Hello? God damn it! Did we lose the TSG?
Could you not hear me?
No,
you dropped out.
You dropped for a second.
That is weird.
Yeah,
that was kind of weird. Were you guys just, you know, cuddling?
just cuddling.
Yeah, come on. I can cuddle and talk at the same time.
Multitasking, man.
No, I was just saying that this is the first time I've really got to experience what I feel like is the 21st century GP experience.
Right.
Yeah, I did the VIP to see what it was all about. As I had speculated, it's kind of overblown. I don't know if you guys feel that way.
I feel like it is. I mean, not speaking from a whole lot of experience, but just from seeing, like, you know, at the last GP Vegas, it was like, oh, we're going to kind of do this VIP thing, and you guys should register, and it seemed to be kind of the beginning of that. And that was pretty fucking sweet in the situation we were in. But that was because basically it was like a new thing. It was lack of preparation on like everybody's part. So the people that signed up for, you know, VIP didn't have to wait in a fucking ridiculous around the building fucking line to get into the fucking GP. But then everybody kind of, you know, all these TOs started to, like, from what I see now and what people have tweeted about and what people like what's offered and how much it costs at these GPs now. It's like, man, fuck the VIP thing. Like it's starting to get less and less about value for the player and more about like, oh, well, you could just regular register or you could do all – you could pay us a bunch of extra money. So you basically get like a water bottle and a pen and fucking you can use the bathroom easier or whatever the fucking case may be. And it seems to me it's not nearly as fucking cool as it was when they like didn't know what they were doing.
I mean, to speak to that point, I was looking at GP San Diego, and like one of their registration perks, if you go like to premium, is online decklist submission.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, doesn't that make your life easier? Shouldn't you want everyone to do that? Wouldn't that be better?
Exactly. And
why are you charging me to make your life easier? That doesn't make any sense.
No, exactly. And I think we even got into that. We were talking about the, cause like, for instance, me at Vegas last time, I showed up, didn't know how a GP worked, didn't know how deck registration worked. I showed up, start hungover, planned on dropping out. No way I'm fucking doing this, but I'll sit down and I'll fucking try. and started marking out what I was going to make out of a deck list out of these fucking cards. You know, it's a limited GP, so I'm like, all right, well, I guess I'll try to make something. And then I finally got pointed out, like, as David came over, and he's just all, yeah, man, I dropped. I'm fucking out of here. I was like, yeah, I think I'm going to drop, too. This pool is fucking terrible. He's all, fucking, why don't you wait until after – you get rid of this pool and get your pool if it sucks that bad. And I'm like, oh, you could do that? Oh, shit. And it all dawned on me, like, how this works. I'm like, oh, sweet. I could do that. And then I had to hurry and play catch up and fucking try to register the fucking pool. And then I ended up fucking striking gold with the pool that the dude next to me opened. And so it's one of those things we kind of got into a joking conversation on Twitter a little while back about that. It's like, why the fuck do I want to pre-register? I mean, if I end up wanting to drop, then I'd at least like to see both pools. Shit.
I mean, a lot of people around me were definitely like, oh yeah, you know, for a sealed GP, it's way better because you don't have to register your pool and you save a bunch of time this way. And I'm not going to comment one way or the other about
it. I'll bet him a fucking foil sword of fire and ice. It is better to fucking see both pools.
Sure. I just know that I think the whole thing is pretty overblown. Like,
I think it's more important, I think, if you're expecting the Grand Prix you're going to be like 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 people, like the huge events.
Yeah.
Because then the things like, you know, preferred seating and preferred, like, you know, match posts,
oh, yeah.
Or bathroom stuff are far more important than like, oh, there's 1,000 people. Like most buildings, you know, are far more capable of handling that these days.
Well, I mean, and again, I don't know if this was just a product of just the event I was at, but the three like primary things that I would want to pay a premium for, I didn't get, which was my own bathroom area, dedicated Wi-Fi, at a usable charging station. Like, there was a guy that walked back into the quote-unquote VIP area looking for a charging station, and he was directed to the power strip that they had set up. He's like, oh, you don't have the adapter for my phone? Or like, no, there's just a power strip.
There's just a power strip there. That's a charging station.
Exactly.
Have fun with it.
Yeah. If you're going to charge extra for it, you got to at least put a minimum amount of effort into it, in my opinion. Like,
yeah, just and like, I mean, get like,
you bought a crate of Costco water. Here you go. Enjoy your plus $30. It's like pretty soft.
And that's the thing. That's I guess what I'm getting at is like the GP Vegas thing was nice because it was kind of an accident. The way that things worked out, we didn't have to wait in line for a fucking day and a half to get our play mats. We didn't have to worry about fucking, you know, nearly all the bullshit that was involved. And so it was kind of worth the extra money. But then as people were like, oh, this is a good idea. And then like TOs have started to try to basically just make more money out of it. It's become less and less about, you know, player comfort. And they're like, oh, okay, well, we can charge this extra money for exactly like you're saying, like a power strip and a Costco crate of water. Like we can charge everybody fucking 30, 40, 50 bucks more that wants to, you know, be a part of this. And like, let's just market it the right way. So it sounds really cool. You know, it doesn't seem to be worth it. Now, you know, maybe when you get into like, okay, if the premium thing has like a sleep-in special kind of built into it and you've already got some buys and it's, you know, fine, you know, or pre-register your deck list or fucking do the VIP thing and do the sleep-in special. If you don't want to fucking show up till fucking 2-3 hours later, that's fine. But from like just your normal basic player, like I looked at that recently, like, you know, looking at fucking different GPs and just seeing what they're doing and looking at that for Vegas, I was like, yeah, I've got no interest whatsoever in just anything but just registering for the tournament.
Well, you know what? In my experience, I mean, I've only been to a couple of GPs, but I've done VIP at, I mean, Vegas, but also GP Minneapolis last year. And the thing that really did it for me with a VIP, aside from, like, the fucking water, was being able to check your fucking bag. Like, that is just huge, because then you don't have to have your shit with you all the time and worry about it getting stolen or whatever.
That's actually cool. I hadn't like seen that on anything, or I hadn't been aware. I haven't been aware of that, but that's something
at the VIP lounge. Like, you know, it's you, and you have access to it. You just like last, like at GP Minneapolis, it was especially good for me because we were doing a party afterwards and I brought the booze cube with me. In addition to my backpack, but just being able to like put my backpack down, show up at the table with just my deck was just awesome.
Oh yeah, actually, that's a perk that I would enjoy. I mean, I'd probably have to run back and forth a lot to get to my vodka, but that's nice to not have to carry your shit around with you the whole time if it's a trusting environment. And I guess the only thing – I mean, this is kind of speculation because I haven't seen that. I haven't done that. That seems like a good idea, but then it's also depending on the fucking tournament, depending on the tournament organizers, where you're at, whatever, how shoddy or well run that whole system is. Like, do you in advance fucking pay extra money so that you can check your bag, which is a good fucking idea. And you know, in your case, you show up and it's like, oh sweet, I can check my bag here. This is, you know, I can come back and get it whenever I have access to it. There's fucking a few what seem like trustworthy people standing around my shit that I care a lot about, my trade binders, my cube, whatever. Or do you show up at the fucking venue and it's fucking one L1 judge like posted up as security in front of a fucking side conference room that a bunch of people are walking in and out of that's full of bags?
You know? And like, if you do that and you're like, okay, here is my bag, and then your bag goes missing from the bag check, right? Does the TO like, okay, what was in your bag? We will replace it, because it seems like an inordinate amount of risk that they're in.
Oh yeah, that's a huge risk because you're just my power's cube.
From a legal perspective, I mean, you would have just a straight up claim of at the very least negligence, if not a contract breach of contract claim.
As the TO, you'd have negligence.
Yeah, I mean, if you've basically contracted for them to watch your shit, right? Purchasing this ticket, you would have a breach of contract claim unless they had some sort of language in the agreement to buy the VIP package that disclaimed it. But at the very least, you would have a negligence claim. So if you
to make sense, that seems to kind of be a given. Like, you should, if I'm going to check my bag with you, if this is any sort of, you're paying me to check my bag, you are essentially responsible for it. And then that kind of puts on the TO. It's like, okay, how are we going to be responsible for all these Magic players' bags that have, you know, untold amounts of fucking money stored inside them, because they're just checking them with us and they're all probably full of expensive fucking Magic cards and theft is a thing. So then, you know, as a TO, how do you like competently say we can fucking keep your bag safe and make sure that nothing is going to get fucked up without having to hire a bunch of extra fucking staff to literally run a fucking room?
In the ones do you make people declare value? Like, how much is in your bag? Okay, can you prove that? Like,
this whole headache does not seem worthwhile. I mean, all it tells me is that not every VIP quote-unquote experience is created equal, because the event I went to had no offering of bag check or anything like that. I mean, thankfully, I know dealers that were able to watch my bag for me, which is a huge deal. Again, that's something else I'd even considered. Yeah.
I always carry the minimum amount possible. Like, if I'm playing with a GP, it's like dice, pen and paper, play mat, deck box, extra sleeves, nothing else.
A lot of that stuff for me fits in the deck box. I think that's important. But you know, you bring up another point of things that, you know, everything that I'd want out of a VIP experience, I'm not currently getting. And the things that I did get from this particular event, and I don't want to call out PES specifically, I think they did a great job of running a regular Grand Prix. Just everything that I felt was supposed to be the special extras weren't there and did not exist. I mean, you know, the other big thing for me, the thing that they do try to offer is the water bottle and access to the water stations. And, you know, the event I was at, they were emptied and were never refilled during the day. And it was like, God damn it. That's like the one, like, kind of last bastion in this situation. But
I definitely get what you're saying. And I think it's the one thing I do have to say about it is, like, and we've talked about this before, like the changes that they're trying to make to the GP system. I think some of them are heading a good way, which is like, I think we talked about this. I think it was GP Orlando, was it, when they were doing the whole, the whole theme park fucking thing and the prize wall and shit like that, and trying to make like a carnival style thing out of it. Yeah, maybe that model wasn't quite there. And maybe this VIP model that we have now, depending on the TO.
I think the prize wall concept
is great, personally.
Well, no, that's what I'm saying. It, like, I think the prize wall concept is great, and I think that that can be incorporated in more, like, with other ideas. And even this VIP thing, when done right, it actually could be a good thing. It's just I feel like we're kind of still in the stages. The prize wall, not so much, because it's kind of a standalone thing, and it again, that's something that can just be kind of watched. But you can also be like, oh, sweet, there's a fucking prize wall at GP fucking this town. This was fucking sweet. And then you go to it at GP this town, and it's like, really? You're charging basically what would amount to like $30 for a pack of sleeves? Eat a dick. Like, it's a system that I think these strides forward in like the way GPs are run are good. It's just a trial and error thing. And I think the same thing about the fucking VIP package. It worked great to our advantage in Vegas because it was way early on, and I feel like it just – the value that was there for it, like, or, you know, what we paid for the value we got out of it was fucking sweet. And then it's kind of deteriorated a bit. It's bounced back and forth. There's been good ideas. There's been bad ideas. Scott had a great experience with the fucking bag check thing, which is fucking sweet. But we've also said, like, there's obviously ways that can go terribly wrong.
You have to check for those kind of things because, you know, again, they're not all going to be the same. You can't just assume that, like, oh, VIP, that's going to entail me access to A, B, C, D, and E. When certain TOs are going to offer you A, B, D, and option G that you didn't even know about. And
so, no, what I'm getting at, and that's exactly it. We're still in that phase where it's bouncing back and forth, but I feel like at some point, you know, maybe it's fucking 5 years down the road, but at some point it'll become kind of more of an accepted norm. The TOs do this for the VIP package, and they don't do this. They've learned their mistakes from fucking...
And I think it's also a function of, you know, GPs are not... all, you know, like we were talking about TOs, every TO is going to do things differently. They have different people working for them. They have different focuses. They're trying, they have different profit margins to maintain, you know, whatever they're trying to do. I mean, so as long as every GP is run by different people, or, you know, every GP in a certain region is run by one TO or another, you're going to have those fundamental differences, and some are going to be better and some are going to be worse. And the only way you really you're ever going to really unify it is if either Wizards tells them this is what you have to offer, or Wizards just starts running all of the GPs in-house.
Even still, we're miles away from either of those scenarios. But what I do want to tell listeners is, especially about the prize wall scenario, that was a wake-up call to me as well. And while I feel like most prize values have become pretty uniform within these, what you're being offered is not the same at every event you're going to go to, based on what the TO has access to. And I made what seems now as the massive rookie mistake that you should never make again. If you think about it, when you go and get these fucking, you know, prize tickets, it's like going to a Chuck E. Cheese or your Bullwinkle.
Right, get your finger traps and you get your little wiggly hands.
That's not it. But, like, answer me this. When do you go and cash out those tickets?
Immediately.
Like, not at the end of the night to see how many you get?
No, because they're going to run out of stuff.
Well, I didn't
It's first come, first serve. You just snap that shit off right away.
I didn't fucking know that.
Dude, they're only going to have, like, a couple, you know, because, like, I haven't been to a GP with the prize wall concept, but from what I gather for most of them, it's like literally infinite whatever packs are in standard at X tickets. And then like some smorgasbord of like Funko Planeswalkers and weird old packs and t-shirts and other playmats and whatever. And it's like all that cool shit, if you want any of it, if you don't, it doesn't matter. But if you want any of that cool shit, you got to go right fucking away.
Well, okay, so you surprisingly are accurate, but coming at it from the wrong direction.
All right, I'll take it, I guess.
See, I know, I feel like him and I would get along really well. There's so many times on this podcast where I come to the right conclusion from completely the wrong direction.
Well, here's what happened to me, and I think that this happens to a lot of people that go to events like this, is you play Magic all day, and then you're getting ready to leave, and you're like, oh shit, I gotta cash out my tokens. I gotta, you know, see what kind of fucking Chinese finger trap I can get or whatever.
It's like showing up at home from a Vegas trip with fucking like a $40 fucking voucher from Excalibur in your fucking pocket.
That's yes. The worst.
Fuck.
Fuck, now I have to go back to Vegas one more time when I was never planning on it.
Yep.
So I made the mistake that at the end of 9 rounds of playing Magic, I was like, oh, you know, they gave me just the right number of fucking prize tickets from being a VIP that I can't get anything cool. but I can go get a couple of draft sets and I can use those to go do something useful later. So I go stand in the line to turn my pieces of paper into packs, and surprise, surprise, the line goes on for fucking days when I show up there because...
Everyone had the same thought you did.
Exactly. Oh, yeah. And I'm like, this is already a terrible experience.
Everybody leaving a sporting event at the same time kind
of
deal?
Yeah, yeah. Like not getting up in the bottom of the eighth inning when your team is leading by nine or something.
I mean, imagine if like you went to a baseball game and they gave you the bobblehead as you were leaving. Right? Like the discussion would legitimately be like, okay, we're up by three and I want a bobblehead. Is it time to bail?
Yeah.
Yep.
So not only do I go and stand in this like 12 person deep line to get my prizes.
Well, it's not that many.
Well, there's more to the goddamn story, okay? All right, so I'm thinking, like, I just want some fucking packs. Like, I cracked a bunch of my draft sets and try to find cards for this event anyway. Like, there's a little bit of recoup on the prizes. And as I'm standing there, I'm realizing that the reason this line of 12 people isn't moving is that there is, like, a miniature riot about to break out between these people because the three Herp Derp guys running the prize wall are trying to tell them that they are completely out of standard legal booster packs to give away, and they won't adjust any of their prices on any other shit they have.
Oh, God.
So they're trying to tell people, they're like, oh, well, you can get a pack of Cold Snap for three event tickets when, like, one event ticket was a pack of the current type two.
Yeah.
And no one wants
How about
this
the Mercadian Mask booster packs, guys?
Only 15 tickets.
Yeah.
So I'm standing there with six fuck tickets, and everyone in the line is arguing or just like, all I want is this Chandra, let me have it. And now I'm like, I'm getting mad of, like, sitting there and waiting. And I'm like, okay, anyone want to just coin flip for my tickets and, like, fewer people will wait in line and someone could get something useful instead of trying to get two packs of a
they
shitty set?
They confiscate your tickets for gambling?
Oh, I didn't even know that could have happened.
I love it.
So I have six event tickets, which are just a pack each. But for seven, I can get the esteemed Mexican Gideon Funko toy or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Which, you know, has history for us. I feel like having a Mexican Gideon Funko thing is almost as useful as some packs of Magic cards, when, you know, in reality it's not.
So you had to start giving blowies out for that last ticket, huh?
Fuck no, man. We just started out flipping coins with everyone else in line to keep us entertained.
You're just hot-handing the dice game. All right. Just like,
all right, we're going to have to fucking edit this part out so you don't get in any more trouble.
Yeah.
So long story short, I stood in line for fucking 45 minutes, but at least I left with Mexican Gideon.
Oh, sweet. You got the Mexican Gideon out of it.
Yeah, and I'm bringing him to bed.
You coined your way to the fucking top.
He's going to be some kind of prize for whoever wins an important cube match at some point.
You're like, as a matter of fact, that's the fucking
gold.
Mexican Gideon, and now I've got a fucking voucher for fucking six more Canadian fucking prize wall tickets that now I got
to
go back
to. And make him like a cube trophy.
But he's already so cool the way he is. Like, have you seen this Funko thing?
Yeah.
Like, it's supposed to be just regular, generic, classic Gideon Jura.
Yeah.
But he either, like, went super hard in the desert and got a Megatan, or he just happens to be Hispanic.
He's been in the tanning booth, yeah.
No, I have seen that one. That was one of the things that I was going to, like, I was thinking about getting for a prize for this fucking Boost Cube is... Or Boost Cube contest is going to get some of the fucking Funko dolls, but unfortunately, if I try to order those from fucking Canada, they cost $200 in fucking shipping to get them here. And I was like, no, that's not going to work.
Those Funko dolls are at fucking Target now on, like, super clearance.
Mm-hmm. I know. I don't have a Target here.
Like, $6.
Oh, man, fuck you. That sucks, because I don't have a Target in Ridgecrest.
What?
You know what also doesn't have Targets? Canada.
Yeah.
I'm in fucking Minneapolis, which has a Target on like every third street, so.
Oh, yeah. Didn't you talk about this before? Are you guys like the Target or capital of the world? Isn't that where like the headquarters is or something?
Yeah, I used to live like, when I used to live downtown, I was literally three blocks from Target corporate headquarters.
You just roll in there and be like, hey, guys, I'm going to take some of these down to the store. And they're like, all right, cool.
Yeah, I mean, there's like a fucking Target everywhere. So yeah, I've been just getting fucking Funko Planeswalkers like nobody's business.
I need to do that because I at least need to get a fucking set of those for my fucking bar. David, are you still here?
Of course.
Do you have any input into this whole fucking GP conversation we're having? Like the models that they've got going on now, the VIP.
I just kind of stayed out of it. I don't like the whole prize wall type shit. Like I think that it's just a way for them to just eke more, you know, slight profit margins out of it, but. And I've been like on the receiving end. Like some of it's cool with, you know, they have like, the one that I was at was GPLA. They had uncut foil sheets and uncut sheets of certain sets and the Funko Pop dolls and memorabilia, that type of stuff, along with the old tickets and sets. And it just boils down to, for one, it comes down to the tournament organizer. So the prize wall thing could work great if they know what they're doing and, you know, the exchange rate is accurate. But, like, the one that I was at, like, if you wanted a standard legal set, the way the prize tickets worked down was okay. It was transferable to what you would pay money-wise, it seemed like. But then going and getting an older pack, you know, or a Modern Masters pack or something like that, it was much more than you would pay in cash is what was required from the prize tickets. So if you're smart and you look at it and you go, okay, well, you know, if I want Modern Masters packs, I'll go pay $15. I'm not going to pay essentially $20 in my prize tickets. But it was just like it turned into this whole little market and people were buying prize tickets from other people because they wanted, you know, certain things, but they didn't have enough prize tickets.
Leave it to Magic players to be like, oh shit, I could game this system real quick and get into the finance side of fucking prize wall tickets.
Exactly. And so it's just like, it brought in a whole weirdness to it, and I wasn't that keen on it. But I think if done properly, it's fine. As far as the, you know, all of this, everything that we've been talking about, it really just comes down to the individual tournament organizer. Everything that we've talked about, you can either do it right or you can do it shitty. And the problem is unless you've been to the GPs from that tournament organizer before and you know it's going to be the same, it's a toss-up. Because I've paid for VP at tournaments and been perfectly happy with it, and then I've paid for VP at other ones and I was like, this was not worth
here's dollar your Costco more. Water bottle here's your Costco water bottle and an extra outlet.
That issue is going to go down over time though, because as GPs get larger and larger, fewer and fewer TOs can run them.
Yeah, I get that, but I'm even talking about the bigger TOs. The ones that are running them now are still huge, and it's just a matter of whether that TO does enough to warrant that your money. Sure. You know, like I've been to ones from
Pastimes, right? That was out of Chicago or whatever. They got like a ton of heat from the magical internet for a while because they like upped their prices and they had like bad facilities and stuff like that, and like everyone jumped on them for being super money grubbing about it when GPs first started blowing up.
Yeah, well, and you know, that's my only input is it's really hard to have input other than, you know, if you know from experience that tournament organizer does things right, then yeah, it might be worth going for the VP. And if you've been to theirs before and you know that they don't give you your value, then obviously stay away from it. But
I think that's always going to happen. Like, you know, like we were saying, like that, yeah, that's definitely always going to happen. You're going to have difference, you know, a difference between TOs. And I mean, that these GPs have been happening for a long time, and we still have the problem with like some TOs are better than others, and some people can run a tournament better than others. But I think there are things that will get flushed out over time. You know, like the VIP packages are still fairly new. Because I'm still fairly new at this game, and they're newer than me.
They're not new at this point.
Well, they're not new, but you still have people. And again, I think you know, part of it comes down to like different TOs thinking that they can. You know, they're like, we want to have a. You know, one guy might be like, oh, we want to have a fun fucking tournament, like a Kelly type person from fucking Face Toronto. Like, he's a guy that's known for putting on sweet fucking tournaments and doing sweet events. And really getting into like those things that we'd like to fucking see. Like, you go into his shop and he's got a fucking cafe. You know, like when he was running events, it was like we had him on one of our episodes one night while he was running a fucking draft from a fucking bar one night, and everybody's drinking, having a good time. Like, just he thinks of ways to make this fun for people, still make his fucking profit because he's got to, but he, you know, he's good with that. Then you have other people, there's always going to be shitbags in the world that are like, oh, all right, cool, how can we market this so people think that they're getting something cool and they're basically paying extra money for garbage? And that's always going to happen. But I feel like the VIP packages, they're not new anymore. You're right there. But at the same time, everybody's offering different shit. Like, it seems like every time I look at a fucking GP and see, like, what the VIP package is, everybody's offering different shit. They're still kind of trying out. They're testing the limits, see what they can get away with. We as a community are the people that are going to decide
exactly
whether or not.
I mean, you're arguing my point.
Yeah, exactly. Well, yeah, it's what I'm getting at. And along with that comes, like, you know, I mean, fuck, look at – I don't know if this is a fair comparison or not, but look at just the structure of GPs, the way they fucking do it. It finally has ended up, like, the way GPs work is you do fucking, you got fucking day one, you got day two, and that's how it works, and everybody's used to that. Then somebody comes in, that fucking Cardmageddon thing comes in and tries to restructure the whole fucking thing and try something new and fucking different, and it was fucking terrible. It didn't work at all. And so it's like, okay, they learned from that mistake, and as far as I know, nobody's tried to fucking have a tournament like that anymore, because everybody was like, yeah, we're not showing up at your fucking tournament. That's dumb. What's going to happen is at some point – what's that?
No, I was just going to tell you that unfortunately, we have to leave.
Oh, no.
I know.
All right. That's fair. But, it did take us fucking a billion years to get started.
I know. Well, it's okay. This way, I'm still just a guest. I wasn't here the whole time. No one can say shit about it.
It keeps the mystique
going. If you're not
going here
for the intro and the outro, are you really even on the show?
No, that's fair.
Yeah, exactly.
This is a cameo at best.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm trying to do the Canadian due diligence of being here. Hopefully, I could stop by in some capacity right before Vegas. We could talk about all the cool shit we're going to do there. Briefly, as a guest, just very shortly.
Just a guest.
Temporarily occupy the recording space.
Yeah, just to talk about some shit we're going to do in Vegas. It'll be fun. I'm sure we'll touch base then. But once again, thanks for having us on to talk about the sweet Booze Cube contest. I look forward to seeing those things in a few weeks. Any parting
words?
Yeah, thanks for having me. It was a lot of fun chatting about stuff. Booze Cube stuff seems cool, having never seen it before.
Definitely give it a shot. It's literally give it a shot. Whatever you want.
No, and now what I want to see is, like, what I feel like is happening is their fucking food that they ordered is finally here, but they're attached together with a headset. So rather than having to shuffle to the door together,
they don't want to do the whole.
It's not even that good. We haven't even acquired food yet.
Something in the tramp. They're gonna eat spaghetti together and meat in the middle.
That sounds pretty good, actually.
Yeah, right? Right?
The problem is that we don't...
It may just be the fact that I haven't eaten anything except a bagel at 8:30 this morning, but that sounds delightful.
Well, David will be...
Yeah, I'm fine. I'll make out with you over a fucking meatball.
That's what girlfriend always gives him.
Oh, I mean, nice, yeah.
David constantly gets... Dinner gets put in front of him while he's casting.
That is actually why I was silent during that whole GP nonsense. I was eating chicken breast, Brussels sprouts, and a baked potato with sour cream and... whatnot.
Oh man, you're just trying to irk the hell out of all of us. Fucking, I'm eating vodka for dinner because my wife left town before we got on the cast.
Oh, and shut up. That would have been any different than your dinner anyway.
No, there's minus a cheeseburger.
That's the difference is when I get finished with my podcast, I don't really have time to eat dinner before the cast, so I just drink vodka and then I go inside and eat whatever the fuck we had for dinner.
How the hell do you make it to work on Thursdays?
Man, you have no idea.
I don't. That's what I'm asking.
Yeah. I was still drunk when I woke up last week.
Yeah, actually, last week I was
hammered drunk.
The way I make it to work on Thursdays and on Tuesdays, because I do this basically the same thing with my band on Mondays, the way I make it to work on fucking Thursdays is fucking years of practice.
Yeah, I was going to say experience. Muscle memory at this point.
My body knows exactly what the fuck is going on. Well, anyways, boys, it was good to fucking
asshats. We'll talk to you.
It's good to talk to you.
Much love to the SVU. Thank you guys so much for Toronto, and we'll be back on the airwaves talking about Cube on our own podcast real soon. But until then, thanks for having us, guys.
Absolutely.
You guys have a good night. Nice meeting you, Eck.
Cheese nerds.
Go eat your cheese, nerds. Oh, I missed my chance to say that to him.
Oh man. All right, so I guess we fucking move onward. We've got all sorts of shit to talk about. And by all sorts of shit, I mean, we got, like, some Modern Master spoilers we could get into.
Got Modern Masters. I played Magic this weekend and almost qualified for a pro tour qualifier. Sounds weird. Sounds weird to say that now.
Almost qualified for a qualifier.
Yeah. I almost pre-qualified for the pro tour qualifier.
You were almost you almost got one of those American Express letters. It's like you're pre-qualified.
Pretty much. Yeah.
You're like qualify.
Yeah, it was sad. You know.
So how'd that go? We'll talk about your magics. I'll real quick talk about my lack of magics. I didn't play any. Now we'll get into your magics.
Yeah. So I went to a PPTQ on Sunday. It was standard, which is mainly what I play. I was so unsure of what I wanted to play. Like, I had built this Jeskai deck that, you know, took advantage of Dragonlord Ojutai, and my kind of like it's not really secret. I don't even know if it's really good. It just seemed really strong to me was Teemer Battle Rage with Ojutai. So you give it double strike, and so basically you get to anticipate twice and deal 10 damage to him. And then you're also running cards like Stubborn Denial, Silumgar Scorn, Valorous Stance to protect it. So that way you attack with Ojutai. Generally, they'll just try and kill it as soon as it becomes unhexproof. And then you counter their spell or give your creature indestructible. And then you Teemer Battle Rage, and you get to deal 10 damage to them and then anticipate twice. So that seemed,
Jesus.
Yeah. It seemed really, really strong. But I didn't have a chance to test it, and I wasn't sure how good it was against either of the big decks that I was expecting, which is Esper Dragons and Mono Red, because that's kind of like the rock and paper of the format, and now people are just trying to find the scissors.
Trying to find the scissors.
Yeah, exactly. I figured out like the deck that stuck out to me that had good game against both of them and is one of my favorite color combinations is Mardu or Black White Red, because so many of the cards that you want in there are good against both decks. Like Crackling Doom is mainly good against Esper, you know, but it's also very good against a lot of the mid rangey decks, red green and so on and so forth. It's not great against Mono Red, but it's still not terrible. But the cards that really, really stand out against both are like Mardu Charm, which is like against Mono Red, it's like a 3-for-1 because you make 2/1/1s with First Strike until end of turn. So I remember one guy, he thought he was just going to kill me. He had a Goblin, whatever that's called, the Foundry Street Denizen. And then he cast a Hordling Outburst and made it like a 4-1, and then attacked with a Lightning Berserker with like 2 red mana up, and I had nothing on board, and I cast a Mardu Charm, blocked both of them with 1-1 First Strikers, killed both of his big creatures, and then was still left with 2 1/1s to block 2/3 of his Hordling Outburst. The look on his face was just like, oh fuck. You know, and against control, it deals 4 damage, so it can kill Ojutai. It also is an instant speed duress, so at end of turn, you can duress them and see what they're working with, or force a counterspell, and then untap and cast your Elspeth or whatever else. Or in a pinch, you can make the 2 1/1s and start attacking with that. And then the other card that's really good against both decks is Cooligan's Command, or however you want to pronounce that.
I like Cool in the Gang's Command.
Cool in the Gang's Command, yeah. So all of its modes are relevant. Like, it's a 2-for-1 in against either deck. Against Mono Red, you're almost always going to be doing 2 damage and, like, getting a creature back, or you can make them discard a card if you know that everything in their hand is gas. You 2-for-1 them in that regard. Four of the creatures that you main deck is Seeker of the Way, which is really, really strong against Mono Red, and so you can return a Seeker of the Way from your graveyard, because they'll kill that motherfucker on sight, and then deal 2 damage and kill, like, their Rabble Master or their Heel Cutter or Foundry Street Denizen. And against Control, you're almost always going to get back one of your creatures and make them discard a card, so it's 2-for-1-ing them there, and you're just trading resources. So I wanted to build Mardu and have good game against both of the big decks in the format. So that's what I did. I took it. I played Mono Red in round 1, absolutely crushed him. I lost game 2 off of a mistake on my part. I took a a Hordling Outburst when I had a Bio Blight in hand, and I let him keep a Triumph of whatever it's called, the Hall of Triumph, which pumps all of his guys, which made like my Mardu charms and stuff a lot worse later in the game and ended up costing me. But either way, I was able to beat him game three really handily off of like two Seeker of the Ways and a Bio Blight. Then round two, I played red-green monsters, and like game one, I had three of the four of my Crackling Dooms and just easily crushed him. And I think round three is the only round I lost during the Swiss. I played a Jeskai kind of like burn control deck. It was really weird. It went to game three, and then in game three, I just started flooding out hard, and he had a what the heck is that? Soulfire Grandmaster, and he kept rebuying the Flames. So he ended the game real quick off of that. And then round four, I played against an Esper Dragons build, and my deck functioned exactly how I thought it would, and beat him pretty soundly. And then I had a intentional draw into the top eight. I know I'm boring the hell out of Marcel right now talking about Magic and shit.
Marcel,
I guess he's going to have to just...
Oh, no, I'm listening.
No. I meant Marcel.
You're actually talking about Marcel.
Yeah. Marcel hates when we talk about Magic, and me specifically, so I'm boring the shit out of him right now. Then I ID'd into the top eight, and then my first match of the top eight, I'm trying to remember what I played against. I think that it was... Oh, God. Why am I having trouble? I don't have my life pad next to me so I can bring it up. I want to say that it was...
You need one of them sweet-ass ones from Sign
I and do.
Blood.
I need to get one of those Sign and Blood pads. I feel bad that I haven't. Fuck.
Was
what did
it
I play against?
Fucking Abzan?
No, it wasn't Abzan. I'm trying to remember. It was a green... It was a green deck, but basically I had... I think it was green red. It was green red devotion. It was green red devotion. And I had the right removal at the right time. And game three, he kept a slow hand, and I kept a really aggressive one. I went like Seeker of the Way into Bramaz into like two removal spells, and that was it. Like he couldn't. I had way too many creatures on the board for him to be able to set up a proper defense. And then top four, I played. There was two of mono reds, including the guy I beat in the first round. He went and racked off like four wins and made it into the top eight.
Shit.
Yeah, and there was two
mono
reds.
Is fucking sweet.
Yeah, there was two mono reds and Esper Dragons, which are decks that I built this deck to beat. Yeah, and I was unlucky enough to get the Esper Dragons. I was hoping that he would get killed off by one of the mono reds, and then I would beat the other one and play mono red twice, because I feel that's the better matchup, because every card in the list, it just crushes them. You know, Mardu Charm, Bio Blight, Ultimate Price, Seeker of the Way, Bramaz, Sorin, Elspeth, like all of the cards match up really, really well. So I was hoping to dodge the dragons, and I did not. And I flooded hard both games, like scryed, land away, drew land. I think my opponent and I did the math. In game two, I had an outpost siege. I think I saw 10 cards, and they were all land. And so there's Jesus. No way you can win at that point. Like, he landed an Ojutai, cast a Dig Through Time while I sat there and did nothing. And he was a very good player. He let, you know, his Ojutai die a couple times because he had another one or a Haven and just recast it and really held on to his counter spells for when they were very relevant. And he beat me. So, I do think that the deck is really strong. I made a few changes to it, and posted it. Yeah, I think Mardu is really well positioned right now going forward. I think a lot of its cards match up really well.
So. I think I was listening to the A-Team, like I was catching up on some A-Team episodes, like the last two of them within the last couple of days, and they talked about that a little bit. I don't remember if it was on last or this past episode or the one before, but like, you know, Scotty was talking about where like Mardu seems like it's poised for something. It just, you know, it kind of sucks because some of the cards are meh. like compared to the rest of the fucking field, but like Crackling Doom's a huge card against the field. And then like just putting together the right build of it, and it's like one of the things I think that Scotty had said is like it's just waiting for the right, you know, the right deck to come up, the right deck for the right weekend to come up to really start pushing it through, and it's like kind of time for Mardu.
See, and I don't even think like there are some of the cards that I could see that, but most of the cards, and this is always the way that black, white, red, in my opinion, works, especially in standard, is more of a control deck. And those colors have some of the best sideboard options in Magic. Like Anger of the Gods is super good again right now against like all of the Deathmist Raptor Den Protector decks. So I had a couple of those in the side. Crackling Doom is just so good against any of the Dragons control decks. Right. Thoughtseize, Duress. I had a one of Cool in the Gang, but no, I had two main and one side of Cool in the Gang's command, and that card was never bad. But I had a Foul Tongue Invocation as just like an additional sack in my sideboard for the Dragons. But looking at it now, like I don't run any Dragons in my list, which there is a very popular Mardu list, which is Dragon-based, and I just feel like this is more well-positioned, especially against mono-red. But I changed that out for a Merciless Executioner because I don't have any Dragons anyway, so the life gain doesn't really – it's not really relevant. The only thing you're losing is the whole instant speed thing. But most of the time against Dragons, that's not going to matter. But
I think that's kind of that allure to want to build a fucking – like especially with the set the way it is and the way some of the Dragons have – impacted standard, there's kind of that allure to like, okay, well, if I'm gonna fucking build, you know, in Mardu colors, build some red, white, black shit, like you almost kind of want to just add the Dragons into it, be like, oh shit, let's find that fucking, like, let's find the Mardu Dragons list. What you're saying is like, you know, yeah, maybe that's not the best way to go with those colors. Maybe it's just like fucking Starkin deal with Dragons,
fucking awesome and that sort of thing.
What
seems like Starkin from the
I have concert. I have two in my sideboard. You're talking about Dragon Speaker?
Yeah, he seems like he'd be perfect for that sort of thing.
He was really good. I was like hem-hawing with having him in the main over Sorin, but Sorin is still good against control, and it's just backbreaking against mono red. But I think maybe a 1-1 split would be good, but he's definitely in the 75. I think there was a list at GP Toronto, a Mardu list, that did really well, and it was Dragons-based. It had four Thunderbreaks and the Storm Breath, which Storm Breath is really good, but everybody's ready for Dragons, and everybody's ready for, you know, Ojitai's and Storm Breaths and Thunderbreaks, and, you know... So I like to get...
Well, yeah, exactly. That's what I'm getting at is, like, you know, everybody's ready for it. Everybody's kind of the allure of building with it, and then everybody's kind of ready for Dragons anyway. So going kind of under the radar with it and just not including the Dragons is probably the smart move.
Yeah, I mean, I felt good about it. You know, the cards that it basically gets you out of in Mardu is the Draconic Roar, which I think that list ran three or four of. Then the thing that makes it awkward in... Mardu with the Dragons is Foul Tongue Invocation is online because you can gain four life because you have the Dragons, but at the same time they can sacrifice any creature they want, so against any list that runs like Elvish Mystic or whatever else, they're sacrificing their crappiest creature, so it's not always at its best, whereas Crackling Doom, you're always getting the highest power creature and dealing damage. So in Mardu Dragons, you have like this weird split, like, do I want to run Dooms? Do I want to run the Foul Tongues? Do I want to run a mix? With my list, I don't really worry about Foul Tongue, and I don't worry about Draconic Roar because I would much rather have like the hard removal or like the charms, which are just so much more versatile. That's why I just didn't play the Dragons. I didn't feel like they were needed. I land early threats and then follow that up with removal and disruption, and then most of the time that's more than good enough. And if not, then I'll play like the finishers, like Elspeth and whatnot, to close out the game. My list is just much more of a traditional mid-range list. It really just switches gears once you've taken control of the game and exchanges favorably with your resources. So I like my list. I think that I would have good game against the Dragons list. but I don't know. I haven't tested it.
God, I love this. This is why you're here. Like, I mean, we could just be a podcast about random fucking foul shit, but like we have to bring you, whether Marcel likes it or not, we have to bring you in to just like give us some sort of legitimacy as a Magic podcast.
Well, I mean, I love talking Magic, and I love talking just alcohol, booze cube. I don't care. So
it's perfect.
I love it. Yeah, this
see,
is why I'm
Maddie
here.
And I are the same way, but then at times it's like, fuck, man, I haven't played any fucking Magic in a while.
Yeah, we got to get Maddie's you. We got to get you playing some Magic.
Yeah, I love fucking playing Magic, but I haven't played Standard since Rotation. I've just been playing fucking Legacy and Modern.
Yeah, you're a Modern Legacy more of a type
and
player,
that's
which
kind
is
of
fine. I like.
I haven't got a chance to play.
Yeah, my thing is I like attacking formats, and it's much easier since I can't really test for me to just like off of theory build for Standard because there's a much more finite card pool
right.
and you know, big decks. So it's much easier for me to do that. If I had more time to devote, I would love to try and like build a, you know, an awesome, you know, Modern deck and whatnot. Like I built a Bant Collected Company deck in Modern that seems really strong.
Ooh, that seems
cool. Oh yeah. Like
Collected Company.
Collected Company is it's actually making a big splash in Standard right now. It's one green, three colorless, instant, and you look at the top six cards and you put two creature cards with converted mana cost three or less from those six cards onto the battlefield at instant speed.
I've heard that's actually making a splash in Modern.
It is, yeah. There's like an Abzan list, but I put it in Bant because for one, like you can play Noble Hierarch and you can ramp it out. And then you also have access to like Vendilion Click, Geist of St. Traft. Yeah, so it's like really, really explosive, but you still have some of the same green white ones like Voice of Resurgence, Knight of the Reliquary, which are also in my list. Another good one is
Eternal Witness seems like it'd be insane with that.
Yeah, that's a one of like that one's the Kitchen Finks is another great one. There's a number of them. Scavenging Ooze is also really good. Obviously Tarmogoyf. I haven't gotten to test it, but that's I do brew Modern. It's just much less so. I don't play it as much, and it's
right.
much harder for me since I don't actually get a test. But so if anybody's looking for, you know, an interesting Mardu list that's, you know, been played in a tournament, done fairly well, check out, you can either ask me for the list or you can find me. I post a lot of my lists on tappedout.net. I'm Raging Gumby on there as well. And you can, you know, feel free to go through my decks and scrutinize and criticize and you
touch
know, tell me how bad I am.
Need to be touched.
Yeah, exactly. I'm used to it. I hang out with Kevy. I've been violated more than...
Yeah, he's been violated.
Spent way more time in the rape dungeon voluntarily than anybody would ever want. But, so I think that's probably a good enough spot to stop on.
We got into some Modern. We could get into these fucking, like, I don't know how much we need to get too far into, like,
the
Modern
Masters
fucking spoilers.
There's some interesting stuff.
Spoilers.
What?
I said, oh, fuck, those spoilers.
Oh, yeah. I'm actually interested, BoozCube. Are you excited or kind of sad that the Eldrazi are in it?
I'm actually really fucking excited because, okay, so I traded away my fourth Kozilek at, like, $15 a year, like, right after Rotation. And I feel like I gave away a child. Excited to be able to get some more Kozilek because I need them for EDH.
Yes,
yeah, that works.
And he was always the one that surprised me because he saw like the least amount of constructed play, but he was like the most expensive for a while.
He's
wasn't he?
So good. I don't understand.
No, he's
why
really good.
Seen less constructed play. He's way
he's,
better.
It's because
than
he's it's because way he's so better. Fragile compared to the other two.
It doesn't fucking matter.
Arguing with you. I'm explaining why.
Yeah, no, I just don't understand because okay, I've played Eldrazi. I played them the entire 2 years they were in Standard. I've played plenty of Tron in Modern, and obviously I play a lot of them in Legacy. Mm. And Kozilek, Emrakul is a fantastic finisher. He is the ultimate or she is the ultimate finisher. I don't fucking know.
I was gonna say if you have like inside knowledge, because I just call it the flying spaghetti monster.
I mean, it's a fleshy lattice. There's lots of holes. Going back to our Mary fuck kill from last time.
Oh man, you're going in deep on this one.
Oh.
So I guess have to without
going deep into the lattice.
But Kozilek is, I mean, he's the only one I want to see in my opening hand. Like, he's so easy to cast at 10.
Yeah. you can tell like a legacy player with like candelabras and stuff, like 10. That's fucking turn two easy.
Matt, I can't turn to him easy. I can turn to him. But
I was just joking because nobody else would look at that and go, oh man, that, he's so easy to cast.
No, he's like turn three. I mean, Kozilek is my mid game.
Yeah.
That's my mid game.
So,
but the thing with Kozilek is, okay, Kozilek, the card advantage you get, even if he's, if your opponent Force of Will's Kozilek, it's a 6-for-1 in your favor.
Yeah, they have to discard essentially two cards and you're still drawing four.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, Kozilek, even at, like in standard, like I played the Forerunner of my 12 post deck, which, and basically like everybody else was doing fucking like a bunch of mana dorks and
the mono green Eldrazi ramp.
I was playing something fairly similar to like what I played in Tron and what I play in Legacy with Ancient Stirrings and Expedition map. I was using Eldrazi Temples and Garrick to untap them. And
speaking of which, Eldrazi Temple is now an uncommon.
Yeah, they're definitely pushing that hard.
And like, Eye of Ugin is a rare now.
And so is Allah's Dust, which is insane.
Yeah, that is. That card has always been so freaking powerful and sees very little play.
That's my favorite card in Magic. Like, period.
Allah's Dust, yeah. I think that's an awesome card. The art, the you know, the name, everything.
Flavor text. I mean, yeah. It's so insanely powerful.
Agreed.
Well, yeah, that was the fucking promo from the Las Vegas.
That was the last GP promo, yeah. I just didn't know. I didn't know whether you were, unhappy because your Eldrazi were going to go down or whether you were excited because there was going to be more in the mix. I'm kind of mixed on it because
I'm kind of in the middle of this shit, too. I'm stoked to see some of these cards come down, but I'm also kind of upset because, like, of some of the cards that I have that are fucking worth a shit, I'm like, oh, sweet, they reprinted them. So that sucks.
At least
the ones that I have that are fucking worth a shit, like, Bob, for instance, like, they're reprinting Bob. Man, that thing was already on its way down, and I paid some money for those, and now it's going to go more down. But at least there, I have, like, three of the four Bobs I have are fucking Bob and not the Kevy version. So I'd be like, cool, I could just trade those off easily for, like, I just have a playset of the newer the me in the artwork. Daybreak Cornet, I actually really like the fucking instead of Jesus, like a Johnny.
Jesus?
Yeah, yep. Jesus. So Jesus. It was like, and so now I'm like, oh, all right, sweet. I mean, Daybreak Cornet, like, I
think that's actually
that
supposed
coming.
To be Brahmaz, but.
No. I'm talking about Jesus is on the old one.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
The old art is fucking straight up Jesus. But
now it's feline Jesus.
Now it's feline Jesus.
Those are my binder, but like now I think I may actually build the deck.
Really? I hate that deck with a passion. I think that Daybreak Cornet is one of the home runs. Like that was absolutely a card that
needed
to get printed.
Really needed to fucking put that back.
Noble Hierarch was also one that was just absolutely needed. Noble Hierarch.
Oh yes,
absolutely. Leyline of Sanctity, that was another one. Absolutely.
Which great. Hello? Now there's going to be more of those running around. Are you there? Hello?
Booze Cube, are we losing you?
Hello?
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 Oh, hello.
Oh, he's gone.
No. Oh, son of a bitch.
Spellskite is another one that really needed a reprinting.
Spellskite, definitely. That one was, like... And, I mean, Spellskite's still one of those... It's like,
they're cards that you don't like to see.
I do not want to see these motherfuckers.
You don't want to see Leyline or Spellskite.
Basically, I'm stoked because now Daniel can afford them.
Yeah. And that's like Mox Opal got a print. That's a card that a lot of people are after.
That's what I care a lot about because want to build a finish.
You all right there, buddy?
Yeah, I'm back.
He's back.
I think Emrakul came in.
I was actually like trying to get out of the screen I'm in and try to figure out this Skype thing so I could try to call you back. And you showed back up. That's so much easier.
Yeah, I don't know what the fuck happened either. Like, I'm on the fucking, like, old iPad, so.
Yeah, I don't know. You just dropped out.
Well, it's worked
so far. We could hear you. You could not hear us.
Yeah, but then I heard the Skype noise. It's like, oh, he hung up. Shit, we're fucked. Now I got to try to, like, keep this conversation going and try to recall him at the same time, and I didn't fucking have to.
All right, so Booze
taking the same amount of time as what I just said.
Basically, what you missed, Booze Cube, is that we started kind of just listing off like the home run reprints, like Daybreak Cornet, Noble Hierarch,
Fulminator Mage.
Yes, that's the one I was just gonna mention. Fulminator Mage is one of the ones I called out from the very beginning. I think it was that one and Noble Hierarch are one of the ones.
Lightning Bolt, because I mean, let's face it.
Well, you know, people always need Lightning Bolts. I have tons and tons, but you know.
You know what? Really, what was important to me is I got spoiled on my birthday, which is also
It's because they knew they had to.
Like, it just worked. I was not even upset. I wanted to see new artwork on it because, I mean, shit, I just need more artwork on Lightning Bolt. But the fact that they reprinted Lightning Bolt for this fucking set on my birthday, which is also Star Wars.
So they got a pass for keeping the old art?
Yeah, I was just like, right on, I don't even give a shit.
Some of the ones that they've put new art on just confuse me. Like Shadow Mage Infiltrator, that's one of the, you know, that's Finkel's card. And then they changed the art for that. Now, don't get me wrong. I thought the art previous was crappy, but it's still his art. Like, then you change it.
Well, I think we talked about that shit. Like, that was a big conversation last time with Bob. You know, like, changing Dark Confidence art. It's like, well, what the fuck? You know, like, it's an invitational card. You know, your art.
That art was so shitty that I was happy they changed it, but I could still be – I could still see why somebody was a little upset. Like, Vendilion Click, I loved that art change. For one, it makes the older ones' value stay a little bit higher, although I'm not sure because this is so much better art. I would want this art much more than –
The selfie stick is kind of funny, though.
What?
The selfie stick.
Yeah. I think they're trying to fit that stuff in because they did it on Ojutai's Command. Like, that one has a selfie stick.
Isn't that the same artist, too?
Is it? Maybe that's his thing.
I think V-Click and Ojutai's Command are the same artist, and they both have selfie sticks. Because there was a conversation going about this on Twitter.
That wouldn't surprise me.
Doing the selfie stick thing.
This person does selfie sticks in all of his art. He's probably not going to get more cards if he keeps it up, though.
Yeah, no shit. Or it'll just become a thing. And, like, everybody's just like, oh, that shit's funny. Because, like, selfie sticks are going to fall off the face of the earth. But, like, that'll be that magic card thing where it's like, oh, there's that artist and they got a selfie stick thing going on again. And how many different ways can you do a group of fucking, you know, magical characters doing a selfie stick pose?
Yeah. So
I actually was working on an artifact called selfie stick, but it was just stupid. So I got rid of it.
Oh, I feel like it's going to have to happen now. Like top down design. Like it's.
Well, I think if you're going to do it, you have to do it. Have you seen the one? It's like super lonely person selfie stick. It looks like a hand. So it looks like you're not alone.
No, I haven't seen that.
Yeah. So that, I mean, if that goes in the Booze Cube, that's what it needs to be.
This super lonely
selfie stick that looks like a hand. So it looks like somebody's holding your hand when you're taking a picture.
it's just a thumb that goes over the lens. So somebody else.
It's a fucking hand that you hold and then it extends out and holds your camera. So you take a picture and it looks like you're holding someone's hand.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Wow.
Yeah, exactly. So that needs to be a card because fuck, that's just funny. The art on that would make the card itself. Then there's cards that got spoiled that like weren't needed, but I think that they're, you know,
there's some that I think fit really well into weren't needed, but again, you know, you got to make this a fucking fun draft set. And I think what they're trying to do is really
I think they're trying to
what they did last time.
Well, they're trying to do
Index Czar.
What?
I said I just can't wait to open an Index Czar as my rare.
Oh God, I can't like. There's so many cards that like if when people open them, that's like the ones that they're just like, are you fucking kidding me?
I saved up enough money. For a pack.
I got a
fucking Modern Masters 2.
I got a fucking Ghost Council of Orzova. What the fuck is this?
Well, you know, people were complaining about, like, okay, last time, like, all the dragons at Mythic, I would so much rather have those dragons at Mythic than at Rare, because you're not going to open them as much at Mythic. I'd rather open something like a fucking Cryptic Command at Rare.
Yeah.
No shit.
No, there's just some that they like, I don't think that they're needed in Modern, but they put it in for casual stuff, and they still hold value. Like Creekwood Liege, I sold I don't know how many of those, all of them that I had, because they held such an insane value for what the card does, in my opinion. But it's the casual appeal attached to it that holds it. And then there's like combo cards that nobody uses but people like Swans of Bryn Argyll. So that one's in there. And then there's a lot of like commons that, you know, a lot of people like and have seen fringe play, like Nameless Inversion. That was a cool reprint. Mm-hmm. You know, and then there's ones that it just fits in the set, like Nest Invader, you know, Kozilek's Predator.
Tezzeret fits fucking great in this set, and it didn't really need to be fucking reprinted. Tezzeret the Seeker didn't really need a reprint, but that fits.
I would
well
have
in the
rather
set.
Have seen Agent of Bolas in that spot, but.
But this guy's so fun with artifacts, and they've got that thing
going
on.
So is Agent of Bolas.
I know Agent of Bolas is, but, like, I've always liked, like, I don't know, when you're getting into the artifact thing, I've always kind of liked Seeker better. But it's blue, so I'm not even going to pretend I said that.
Like, I play Tezzeret in Modern, and...
Yeah, because he untaps artifacts.
Yeah, I play... Well, no, his minus is the best ability.
Well, yeah, because he searches whatever artifact you friggin' want.
You fucking minus three and get in the Snaring Bridge.
Yep.
Or whatever sideboard card or whatever mana ramp you need at the time. Yeah, his minus is busted.
-0 for a fucking Darksteel Citadel is so good.
Yeah, there's -0 for that. There's -1. You know, in EDH, he's another one that's for casual appeal as well. Because like in EDH, you -1 for a Soul Ring, all the time. He's I'm not disputing that he's very, very good. And to me, if he's in here and all of these Eldrazi are in here, we have yet to see the artifact mana, but that's for sure got to be in here. Like there's Mox Opal, but I think that there's gonna be the there's got to be the freaking Signets, in my opinion.
Or the fucking Tron lands is what I'm betting.
Well, I bet that the Tron lands are going to be in there as well, but I'm guessing that there's going to have to be artifact mana as well. Like, not just you can't have just the Tron lands, because not everyone's going to play those or the Eldrazi Temple. But you also have look at all the crazy mana costs on all of these cards. So to use all this, you have to have.
Signets take up fucking 10 spots, though.
What?
What's that?
But Signets take up 10 spots.
I agree. I'm not saying that it has to be all the Signets or that it's going to be the Signets. I just think that there is going to be more artifact mana, like even like Pristine Talisman and, some of the colorless stuff or some of the filter ones like...
Sphere of Suns. That'll probably
Sphere of Suns would be a good one. What's the ice, the Cold Snap one, the Cold Steel Heart or something like that.
Yeah.
Dark Steel... What is it? What's the 3-mana one that you can tap for any color and it's indestructible? It's Darksteel something.
Darksteel Ingot.
Yeah, I think that's right.
Yeah,
either way. You know what I'm talking about. Yeah. People listening know what I'm talking about. Sees tons of play in EDH. Would be just fine in here as an uncommon or a common. It's things like that. They need to be in there. And with Tezzeret being in the set, like that just makes total sense to have them in there as well. So far from what I've seen, the set looks all over the place, but most of the cards seem really sweet, so I'm perfectly fine with it.
I feel like it'll fill in a lot. I feel like we're getting a lot of it. Like, it's kind of given us this whole, like, you know, obviously artifacts and colorless are a huge part of this, but they're giving us, you know, the other side of things, like, little by little. Yeah. You know, you got fucking All Suns Dawn to be kind of on the other side of things. You've got fucking what was the other one I was looking at that was a lot more like kind of on the other side of the artifact thing, and I can't find it right now, so I'm not even gonna fucking try. But I've started to see things pop up that are like, oh, okay, cool. It kind of gives you the vibe. It's like, yeah, you've got this big fucking colorless thing going on. You've got the fucking Eldrazi. You got Karn, you've got a big fucking artifact thing going on, and so we're gonna kind of give you the other, like, some powerful colored shit to do too, but then it also gives you so much more, I don't know, it's it gives you more options when you've got so many things in the set that are colorless, and you're not constrained to having to, you know, in a limited environment, having to deal with fucking color fixing, you know?
Well, you know what I'm fucking, I bet money that Ancient Stirrings is going to be in the set.
Ancient Stirrings, yeah, that's, he's playing modern, it fits with the set.
That's a card that, like, I mean, even if I wasn't going Eldrazi, I would take that because it fixes your mana at the very least.
Yeah, it's a very, very good card in Limited. It was very good in Rise of Eldrazi Limited. That was a big pick. The other thing I wanted to mention is they are really, really playing with the rarities of cards in this. Like, Scion of the Wild, which was a rare, is a common now. That's really funny to see. I have a ton of those from a bulk buy that I made when I first started collecting Magic. And it's funny to see that at common. And then, like, Eldrazi Temple is uncommon. Eye of Ugin is now a rare. Cranial Plating is now an uncommon. Lightning Bolt is now an uncommon. Yeah.
Which makes total sense to me, because do you really want people like me getting a hold of fucking five Lightning Bolts in a fucking draft?
Yeah, well, and then, like, now Bitter Blossom is a mythic, which I think is completely fine. You know, mythics didn't exist back when it was printed. It is very a mythic style card, in my opinion. What was that?
Sorry, I just walked out into a hurricane. I'm walking right back inside.
Yeah, I was going to say, what the hell? Indomitable Archangel, which never felt like a mythic to me, is now a rare. You know, so they've really toyed around with the rarities, and most of them feel pretty spot on.
I think the biggest thing, you know, like, I've heard a lot of, like, bitches and complaints about the rarities shifting like that, and I just don't see a fucking problem with it. I get the fact that in a pack setting or in a collectible setting, that's but, like, you have to kind of, like, if you're building, if you're taking all these reprints and you're shoving them into a set together and trying to make a cohesive fucking draft environment or limited environment, like, you're going to have to shift and toy with those. You know, just like the Lightning Bolt thing. Like, yeah, Lightning Bolt was fucking common. That's great. But in a set like this, like, yeah, maybe you should put it as uncommon, because you don't want people just having ridiculous fucking removal. And, I mean, Lightning Bolt's a powerful fucking spell. These are all powerful cards, but, yeah, maybe that needs to shift to uncommon. Yep. I think, at times you have, what's that?
I said, the Eldrazi Temple at Uncommon just blows my fucking mind.
See, and I'm not saying that all of the shifts make sense. I'm just saying that, like, it's, I think that the bitching that I've heard from people about, like, you know, rarity shifting, it's like, it's not really changing anything. Like, it is for the set. They're trying to make this cohesive as a set. But the fact that, like, this card used to be rare and now it's fucking uncommon and vice versa, or this card used to be a fucking common and now it's fucking mythic, whatever. It's, like, to me, like, putting these in a set, that's no different than changing the fucking artwork. Which, I mean, yeah, you can bitch about that too. But all that's going to do is just fucking add collectability to it, to the ones that you already have or the ones you're getting now. But I've heard so many people bitch, like, a lot about the whole rarity shifting thing, and I can't find any real justification for being upset about them changing the rarity of them.
Yeah. Like, technically, I've lost a lot of money with, like, because I fucking love Olive's Dust, and I have a bunch of them. But I don't care, because it's not like I was trading them away to begin with.
Right. That makes sense.
Yeah, no, I mean, I've lost...
Like, and I mean, I guess I can even see that as a reason to bitch. It's like, okay, well, if you're going to print this at this rarity, this way lower rarity than what it used to be, now it's going to drop in price like crazy. But you're also talking about a limited set.
It's not even going to drop that much. I mean, when you're talking about, like, a set that is $10 a pack...
And, it's not going to be as limited as the last Modern Masters, but it's still going to be a limited print run. Well, you're not fucking firing a shit ton.
You just won't be as many packs open, because
to me, All Is Dust is one of the cards that does stand to drop quite a bit, because it really is only used for casual appeal. And so there'll be a significant enough amount for one for any of the players that wants it. That's All Is Dust, I think, is going to see a pretty sizable drop. Any of the ones at Mythic are going to see a drop, I think, but not too large. Like, some of them, you know, Karn, he's a four of if you want to be running him. You know, a lot of like Emrakul, he's a four of in a bunch of legacy decks, and then like a one of in a lot of casual and a lot of, you know, different Tron decks and whatnot. So those stand to not go down that much. Same with Tarmogoyf. Like Tarmogoyf, if you're playing him, chances are you're running four. He's play in any set that thing that he's legal in.
Right.
One of the ones that's always surprised me is Vendilion Click, because that one sees play, but it's never as like really a four of. It's always like a one or a two of. It's not seeing a whole lot of play in Legacy. And if it is, it's a one or a two of. And that one, it doesn't matter how many times they print that fucking card, it never goes down. It's always expensive. Yeah.
No, and that's fair. Like, that staying at fucking Mythic, like, that's, it sucks. It'd be nice to see that come down. Putting it at Rare, you know, wouldn't be that in this set, like, after, it was Mythic on the last Modern Masters, correct?
Yeah.
So putting it at Rare in this set wouldn't have been a fucking terrible idea. And I mean, shifting back and forth a little bit like that, I get it. You know, the financial side of it, like things going up and going down depending on how many are printed. I do get that, but like I've just seen like an inordinate amount of bitching on the internet, which I mean,
what?
Yeah.
What?
Of the rarity shifting, and I'm like, fuck, man, it's not that big of a deal. Like,
well, that was my whole point. This. Like, most of the time, like, not it's negligible. Like, I've made a lot of money on some of these cards, and I've lost a lot of money on some of these cards. Really just depends on what you have.
And literally, like, the difference, and I guess is the way I look at it, is, like, the price of these cards can take more of a drastic dip or spike from like a one Modern Pro Tour weekend than it could from this set being printed and them shifting the rarity. I've watched cards like that, you know, fucking Karn, like Karn took a big fucking dip because Karn was a big fucking thing for a while. And then all that, like, and it was just like held onto it. And then like Karn kind of fell out of favor for a bit and the price just started fucking plummeting, dropping. And then it stabilized. But, and the only reason I paid attention to Karn is because fucking Daniel had two Karns that he was trying to unload, and I was like, all right, I'll kind of keep an eye on the fucking market of them. And we're like, ah, shit, man, that card's dropping because nobody's fucking playing it anymore in Modern. And so I feel like that, you know, some of these price changes, while, you know, this set will definitely, you know, the rarity shifting of this set can have an effect on it. I feel like, you know, one fucking good or bad weekend at a fucking Modern tournament could fucking change these prices more than what them shifting the rarity could be.
I just want to know if they're going to fucking reprint Serum Visions.
That would be fucking sweet.
Yeah, like Serum Visions, I think, is one that stands to be reprinted. There was talk of Reman, but I don't think that Reman needs to be reprinted.
It was a dual deck.
Dual deck. It was like a two of in, I think, Jace versus Vraska.
That's right.
With new art. So I wouldn't be surprised to see that. I just don't think it's needed. But I wouldn't be surprised either way. I do think Serum Visions is very much
it's
needed.
It's like a fucking $10 uncommon.
Yeah.
No, common.
Yeah, it's a common, I think.
Is Ensnaring Bridge legal in Modern?
Yes, it is.
Because God damn it. Oh, yeah. Why am I asking that? I've played in Modern. What I meant to say is not, is it legal in Modern? Is it part of the sets that this hits?
Oh, yeah.
It was.
Okay.
Yeah. That card is old enough to be reprinted.
Well, no. Like, I wasn't sure exactly on, like, what sets, because I know there's, like,
what I meant when I said old enough, because there's nothing Innistrad or newer.
Oh, okay. See, I, for some reason, was thinking that this run, had a beginning to it also. Like, no. I thought it was, like, anything fucking, like, between these sets and these sets. I didn't realize it was just, like, Innistrad or newer.
I thought that was the only cutoff.
If that's the case, that's something that I would definitely expect. That's another card that really could use a reprint. Its fucking price is kind of ridiculous, and it's fucking sweet.
I hate Ensnaring Bridge. I think it's an unfun card, but I think that it definitely could use a reprint as far as value and whatnot, and it's Modern legal, so.
Yeah, I love that card.
Me too. Oh, while playing against creatures.
There's a number of
you know how I feel about creatures.
Artifacts that it just doesn't stand it to be in a set that's going to be drafted. Like that is not that's not a fun card in limited.
That makes more sense though.
What?
In a set with Tezzeret, it makes a lot more sense.
No, I don't think so. I mean, you can find it with Tezzeret, but it's just not a fun card to play in limited.
Yeah, I get you there.
I mean, well, but the argument still stands that Leyline of the Void isn't, or Leyline of Sanctity isn't that fun, but it doesn't hose you as much because there's much more creature attacking and not, you know, burning and disruption.
Right. Leyline's going to let you fucking...
They have set too.
What's that?
It depends on how much artifact removal they have in the set.
Well, I'm sure there's going to be a fair bit of artifact removal, but because still, you know.
But no, I get what you're saying, David. Like, the fact that, like, in a limited environment, obviously, like, you're not going to be building a fucking burn deck that Leyline of Sanctity is going to be the answer to. Like, you know, Leyline is, you know, it's okay in this limited environment. It's not like a fucking, like, this is going to stop all the shit. Whereas, like, in Snaring Bridge, although I would love to see it reprinted, I'd love to see it get cheaper, you're very right. That's just a kind of a blowout card in a limited set because nobody builds burn decks in limited. Nobody builds fucking combo decks really in limited. Like it most of the time comes down to creatures on the ground and doing it that way. And if you can lock out creatures, basically.
Yeah, that's my only argument for it not being in this set.
Yeah,
that's very valid.
That makes sense.
If you can completely lock out, I mean, that it's almost that, like, in order for it to be
because not only
in set, you'd almost have to print it at fucking Mythic, like, just so that it wasn't there very often.
Exactly. Like, that's the only way they could viably print it, in my opinion.
And they're not going to waste a Mythic slot over Ensnaring Bridge. So, actually, you know, in talking it out, like, you're very right. I don't think Ensnaring Bridge is a good fit for this set.
Yeah, I think that's one of those cards that's going to have to be in, like, a From the Vault or something along those lines where...
Or an EDH deck.
What?
Like next year's
Commander, From the Vault. Just what I mean is one of those sets that it's not for drafting or limited purposes, but still gets more in circulation. So
I
think that's a card that needs to be in one of those just because how just unfun and warping it is for a limited environment.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, you have a good point.
You're 100% right there. Is there anything else in the Modern Masters spoilers that we want to fucking touch on, or should we get into the fucking Twitter hole? If we've even got any Twitter hole questions.
I've got a few, but not a bunch. I think we can move on. Like, we can talk about Modern Masters more next week. There'll be more spoilers out and whatnot.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, I just want to say, like, with the new printings, especially with moving All's Dust down to Rare, my 12 post deck online is going to be super cheap. Like, it was already super cheap before, but like, I bet it's going to be like sub 300 between the reprint of All's Dust and the Eldrazi.
Really?
Huh. Oh, yeah. Like, it's, I mean, it was super cheap before, but it's going to be ridiculous cheap now.
See, and that's something, maybe I could get into. Maybe I'll have to convince myself to get back on.
You would fucking, this deck, like, I've been playing it in paper for fucking almost 4 years, and, like, I've just been cleaning up online with it.
Oh, dude, it just seems like, and I don't know a whole lot about the deck, but it just seems kind of right up my alley. It seems like just doing a bunch of, I mean, fuck, dude, that's like why I like Burn in Modern. I'm just like, I'm going to do a bunch of, like, of powerful shit real quick and just try to close the game out that fucking fast. Maybe, and again, maybe that's just what fucking, you know, the Eternal formats do, but I don't know, maybe I'll have to get into checking that out.
If you've never cast, like, if you've never taken infinite turns with Emrakul Caracas, or, like, I played a game, like, my very first 4-0 in a daily.
Uh-huh.
I cast Kozilek 4 times in a turn. Before
Jesus Christ!
And then I cast Emrakul that I drew into.
Jesus Christ, man. That's, like, that's so far and above beyond me that I'm just all, what? Like, I mean, 3 to you, 6 to you, 9 to you, like, that I get, but Jesus Christ.
If you've never made, like, I've actually, okay, so in Vegas, last time on Sunday. I played in the Legacy tournament. I really wish I hadn't, because I would have rather have hung out, but I had to keep playing because I kept winning.
Well, and yeah, you can't just stop.
In the very last round, I was playing against fucking an Esper Stoneblade deck, and he kept countering my shit, which was annoying, but he had, like, seeing fucking Jace the Mind Sculptor pitch to Force of Will to counter my Expedition map was pretty hilarious. Literally, if Expedition map resolved, he loses immediately. So eventually he runs out of counters, and I'm able to cast an Expedition map, go get Eye of Ugin. I'm able to hard cast all to tutor four and hard cast all three Eldrazi with literally like 200 mana to spare.
Jesus Christ.
Like,
that's fucking insane.
Like, if you've never had,
see, you know, I can't count the eye.
Well, really, in the average game of Legacy that I play, you don't really make more than 50 or 60 mana.
That's fucking crazy.
Like, but it's stupid. Like, I mean, like I said, Kozilek is my mid game.
In the average game of Modern that I play, I cannot possibly make more than 3 mana. And you still get to 0 that quick. I fucking love it. That's probably gonna be one of the next things I get into. Because I mean, goddamn it, I love Modern, and I would like to get into Standard. I just feel like that, like, at least it, like, what's going on in my life, the current pace I'm at, I can't fucking keep up with Standard. Like, every time I start to get a grasp on Standard, I'm like, oh, so this is kind of happening. This is got, oh, there's all these new cards. I got to figure this out. Like, every time I get somewhat of a grasp on Standard, I'm like, man, I think I dig this fucking vibe. I like this deck here, and I like maybe we could tweak this a little bit. And then, like, another fucking set comes out. And then the metagame shifts completely, and then I'm like, oh, man, it's a good thing I didn't buy the cards for that deck. It's a good thing David let me borrow it, because I could just give it back to him. And then, oh, maybe I'll dig, oh, man, because, I mean, don't get me wrong. I'll pay attention to Standard. I dig it. But I'm like, oh, fuck, man, there's so much going on. Like, I've kind of settled into the fact that at least at this point in my life, I play just enough enough Magic to be able to keep current with fucking Modern. I'm like, all right, I get that, and I know how to play against it. And although the card pool keeps evolving because it's, you know, just like any of the Eternal formats, like, the card pool keeps evolving because there's new cards coming in, but not a lot of them are that powerful. So you're only basically introducing, you know, a few players into the fucking pool that's already there. And, you know, the decks change, they move around, but I'm like, oh, all right, cool, I can keep a handle on this. And right now, I want today is a perfect fucking example. I'm like, oh, man, it's Wednesday, fuck, podcasting tonight, and you get myself back into the fucking Magic mode and started listening to podcasts all day long while I was at work. And, you know, not thinking about, like, this fucking album recording, or fucking not thinking about other shit in life. I'm like, oh, man, it's fucking, I gotta get back into Magic. And I'm listening to fucking, like, the A-Team, fucking listening to it, having a good time, and started all, I'm like, oh, man, started fucking brewing up decks in my head, or interactions in my head, like, as, you know, somebody will bring up a card, I'm like, oh, man, what about this? And I get way into it, and then I'm like, oh, man, this sucks. I wish that I had 3-4 days out of the week to fucking pay attention to this, yet I don't. And so then I go back to the Kevin Metal that you all know, that I'm like, oh, all right, man, I'm gonna play this Burn deck in Modern. And
I'm gonna play the one deck that I know and the one format that I play.
Mm-hmm. And, but it moves around enough for me to just keep me interested. I'm like, oh, man, I got to change a card or two. Right on.
Yeah. You should fucking play Legacy, though, like, at least online, because then you'd have people to play Legacy with. But there's really not that much difference between your Modern Burn and your Legacy Burn.
I know. I've actually thought about getting into Legacy
Burn. I have a Legacy Burn deck, too, Kevy.
I know. There's that, and there's also fucking, oh, God damn it, I can't think of his name. It, like, keeps trying to get me into playing this fucking Belcher deck, and that seems fun as shit.
You would... Yeah, Belcher or fucking Oops All Spells, I can see you playing.
See, and that's the thing. It's
anything
that
with Oops
like
in the title probably has got Kevy's name on it.
Yeah, oops. Definitely has my name all over it. No, and I could definitely see myself getting into this. I would love to. But I'm like, all right, well.
That would require him to play Magic.
It's going to require me playing Magic more than fucking once in a great while. And it's also going to require me to, like, have to, like, I don't know, quit my band or something. Because
I don't remember the last time that I played Magic with Kevy. It's been a long time. I mean,
most of the time. Literally right before this, I was just going to say, hey, David, my wife is out of town until fucking Sunday. What is F&M this weekend? I should come play F&M on Friday. And then I realized, no, I can't because I'm recording on Friday.
There you go. Yep. Perfect. But maybe we could play some Magic that night. After F&M or Saturday or something.
That's true. We could actually get some fucking Magic in.
Yeah.
We haven't played Magic together in fucking forever. The last time David was over for Magic, Daniel and I were fucking playing Magic, and David came over.
I never played a bit.
Did you not play a bit? I think the entire time you were here and then left, we didn't even get through the match we were playing.
No, you finished one game while I was there. All right. Do we want to jump into the Twitter hole real quick?
I feel like we should fucking knock out a few Twitter hole questions and we can close this thing out.
All right. I actually got one DM'd to me, oddly enough.
Ooh, it's like, oh, hey, do you want to get into this Twitter hole?
Right? Yeah, exactly. So I don't even, like, I feel awkward calling out who asked the question because it was DM'd to me. Yeah.
Professor X.
No, his name's Chris. That's all you need to know. And what the weirder part is, it says Twitter hole questions part one, and then never got a part two. All right,
maybe he's hammer drunk. You know how many text messages and shit like that I've sent out, or like random Twitter fucking.
I don't think so because it was in the middle of the day.
Doesn't mean shit. We got fans all over the world. It could have been the middle of the night, or he could just be a day drunk.
He is a college student, so it could possibly be that.
I'm going to say real quick before you start, like, officially start the Twitter hole by asking the question, I've been trying to hold it together all night and not drink as much as I normally do to make sure that, you know, hey, we don't have Maddie here to fucking save us.
Basically, you were worried I was going to repeat last week. Don't lie to me.
No. I've been trying to do this the whole goddamn time where I'm like, oh, I feel like I should be somewhat responsible. we don't have Maddie to save us. Like, usually, like, for the last, I don't know, 200 and some odd episodes, I've been all, I'm the fucking talent. Maddie can keep this bitch on the rails. Doesn't matter how drunk I get. With Maddie being gone, holy shit, huge shout out to fucking Maddie Studios, because Jesus Christ, that's why.
We miss you. We need you.
Well, not only do we miss you and we need you, but holy fuck, it's not that I didn't appreciate the guy before, but in the last fucking couple weeks of trying to run this fucking thing without Maddie's help and knowing what he's doing and just getting help from David and the SVU and our friends, holy shit. The fact that podcasts have actually come out is a fucking – it's mind-boggling.
Yeah, that's not just a shout-out to Maddie for doing this stuff on the regular, because I'll do the Kevy translation there. He doesn't like to edit and doesn't have time to do all that shit, so now he's completely 100% realizing how much time it takes to do that stuff.
Me basically doing – 50% of what Maddie does every week for the last couple weeks has been a huge fucking chore. I'm like, oh my god, I gotta do this, I gotta talk to this guy, I gotta fucking fight. And like, I haven't even got to fucking, like, Maddie does graphics, Maddie does actual editing.
There's something to be said that's what he does for a living, and he's very talented at it, but it doesn't change the fact that it's the amount of effort and what he has to do. So
holy shit.
Yeah.
Huge shout out to Maddie,
and also a huge shout out to Marcel and Carrie Dan and the people that have helped get Heavy Meta out to you.
Get this out to you guys.
Yeah, exactly. So shout out to them as well. And Maddie, we miss you. Good luck on your spirit quest with Mother
Come
Goddess
back,
Fever.
Before this whole train burns down, before we get to our destination.
Before I kill us because I start drinking champagne again. Yeah.
So what I was getting at is, but you know.
So do we just want to do shout outs right now then? Because, like.
No, No. I just paused in there for a shout out.
All right, just for a specific shout out.
I interrupted myself. What I was going to say is before you start this whole fucking ordeal, I've been trying to keep myself somewhat on the rails, and now I realize we're getting into the Twitter hole, and I am going to just get hammered for the rest of this.
See, that's kind of where I'm at right now, but like the problem is I'm drinking tequila, and like
oh!
I'm... What?
Oh! Atta girl. I knew that already, but it's like I forgot about it.
Yeah, well, like I, you know, people always say, "Oh, well, this type of alcohol makes me feel this, and this type of alcohol makes me feel that." Never really been like I've never really had that, but I'm pretty buzzed right now. Like I'm feeling it, and I really want to like hurt things. Like
I want to hurt somebody.
I want to fucking fight.
So, yeah, the whole thing about, like, oh, hey, we should play Magic after the cast because my wife's out of town. Nah, I don't want to do that.
No?
Yeah, I don't do that.
Come on.
I was thinking about, hey, man, you should take a cab over here and we can just fucking play Magic till the break of dawn and then go to work in the morning.
I done fucked up.
Not only is that a bad idea in the first place, but now it's an even worse idea.
I done fucked up. No, it's like it's weird, like, you know, because people have said, oh, well, tequila makes you angry or makes you – I don't feel angry. I just, like, want to hurt things. Like,
yeah,
I want to punch things.
Break something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So maybe there is something to it. I don't know. Maybe it's just my mood. But, yeah, it's the first time I've drank tequila in a long time, mainly because I left my giant bottle of Kraken over at Kevy's and I was too lazy to pick it up before.
And for once, it's not like
it hasn't been drank.
That it's gone.
I hope not, because I bought a freaking 1.75 liter bottle.
Yeah. Oh, no, it's a giant bottle. And it was like what worked out well for you. Well, at least, I mean, had you come, got it today. what worked out well for you is for my birthday party, everybody brought booze because, I mean.
Well, no, it didn't work out is because, like, I bought that booze, but mainly I bought it because, for one, that's what I drink mainly, so that's why I bought the big ass bottle. But because we made Kraken cupcakes for your birthday.
Which were beautiful, fucking, by the way.
Oh, yeah, they were delicious.
They were so good.
And they were gluten-free, too, so I could have them. But
that's why. That's why I stayed up till 5 o'clock in the morning. My brain was trying to tell me, what are you
what
doing?
What is wrong with this? I left the bottle at home when I went to your party, and then when I got there, I couldn't have any of the alcohol that was there. It was all grain-based alcohol, so I was like, fuck. So I had to drive all the way back home and grab my bottle of Kraken and come back so if I wanted to drink.
Well, what worked out well there is like we had fuck tons of vodka here, and my band had all been fucking – like we were recording all day and we were drinking vodka all day. So, you know, you kind of get on that fucking thing. I mean, yeah, you go out, you have a couple cocktails or whatever. You know, you can be like, oh, man, I'm going to drink this. Or I'm going to drink this. I'm going to drink this. I'll try one of these, whatever. But, like, we had been, like, all day drunk on vodka. So, I walked in and I was just all, yeah, Kraken, that's for a different day. I don't even give a shit about that.
This is the vodka day.
The vodka. And the same shit happened with, like, Jerome. And, like, everybody was just like, oh, yeah, we're just going to drink vodka. We're fucking good. So, your bottle of Kraken is still quite stout.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's what I asked when I messaged you today. I was like, how much of my fucking Kraken survived, and I was preparing myself for the worst because most of the time when I ask Kevy that question, he's like, ah, yeah, that didn't make it. Like, but it was
no,
just you.
That's
me and Brody, we stayed up all night. He can put it down.
But this time, there was enough vodka floating around the house that motherfucker hasn't been touched since my birthday party. It's still like fucking more than half full.
Sweet, we'll have to put a dent in it this weekend.
You'll have to come get that shit before I run out of all this extra vodka.
Vodka. All right. All right.
Part is there's like an ice chest full of like 45, 50 beers, like, and there's a bunch in my fridge, and I'm never gonna touch those. Like the next time we play fucking Booze Cube is about the next time we'll drink.
About those. The only time those will ever see the light of day.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
So anyway, I'm going to be quiet while you read this question, and I'm going to pound this fucking cocktail, so I'm good and drunk.
He's
going to
pound that cock in the tail.
Pound this cock.
All right. Twitter hole question, part one.
Numero uno.
There is no part two, so Twitter hole question. If you switched bodies with Scarlett Johansson through a Freaky Friday / vice versa movie moment.
Masturbate in a mirror all day.
Oh. Would you be a team player and let your fellow podcast mates have their way with you?
Mm-mm.
No. I'm going to say no.
I I'm gonna stick with my original answer, masturbate in a mirror all day long.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to second that.
And is this one of those like you?
Yeah, like, you know, I would be a team player in the fact that I would take pictures.
Oh no! Well, I'm getting to that. This is like one day, right?
Yes.
Like okay. First, I'm gonna handle my own scarlet business. Like in the mirror, fucking pictures, video, all sorts of shit.
He is going to scarlet his own Johansson.
Yeah, then I'm sure at some point I'm gonna be like, oh well, you know what? Fuck it. Like I'm just gonna return this body to her. I paid $9 a day for extra insurance. I'm gonna return this body to her in the most fucked up condition I possibly can. And then I just start getting into some weird shit. And I'd probably videotape that too. And then I'd keep that to myself. I'd throw that in a drawer somewhere.
See, you're thinking small. You're thinking small.
Oh.
You do all of that, but then you keep the video as blackmail for when the bodies get switched.
I'm gonna keep that video, like the fucked up shit I do to myself. Like I'll give away the fucking videos to my friends.
Like the bestiality bukkake.
But oh yeah, I'll take one for the fucking late in the fucking evening. I'm like, all right, I gotta give this body back soon, and like I don't have to feel any shame about the shit I'm about to do because I'm gonna give this body back in the morning. It's not even mine anyway. So I'm gonna let all sorts of fucked up shit happen. I'll invite the neighbors over to just gang rail it, go to town, whatever you want to do. All sorts of fucked up shit. Capture that on video, and that's the video that goes in my drawer. So that when I give the body back the next morning, then I can blackmail the shit out of her and just like live like a king. And I'd be like, all right, so this is gonna cost you a fuck ton of money because if I give this, like, if I just sell this to fucking the media companies, like, it's gonna fuck your life, and I'm gonna get a lot of money out of it. So you might as well just, you know, keep it quiet and buy this shit from me. And I know you got fucking Avengers money, so for real, just hook it up. And then, I don't know, maybe I'm an asshole, maybe I sell the tapes anyway after I get the money from her. I don't know. But I feel like that's probably the best, it's probably the most fucking EV you could get out of borrowing Scarlett Johansson's body for a day.
BoozCube, do you concur, or does your answer vary?
I don't really have anything to add to that other than, like, I mean, the question is the it's not a matter of whether you're going to do this, it's a matter of how deep you're going to go and how deep the blackmail goes. Because, I mean, are you going to do, okay, yeah, you can let the neighbors fuck you, or you could say, fuck a donkey.
Yeah, let a donkey get in there. Fuck it. Well, that's the thing. Like, I feel like the only problem is you have a fucking, I'm assuming you have a limited amount of time to plan this out. Like, I mean, if you're going to go Freaky Friday this shit and fucking switch bodies, it's not like we could fucking have, like, all right, cool. Well, I got to fucking have a donkey at my house. I got to have, like, all this shit going on. You pretty much wake up and you're like, all right, I don't know how this happened, but I'm in Scarlett Johansson's body. I got to figure out how I can fuck this up real quick. And I got, like, a day's notice. And so you got to kind of be on it. Like, you can't go, like, infinite with it. Like, I mean, I'm sure we could sit around for days and figure out all sorts of fucked up shit we could do.
At least get some kind of bukkake going. Like,
I don't even know why you try, BoozCube. Like, you are a Eldrazi freaking fiend. We know you're into tentacle porn. You might as well just say it.
He's also, we're gonna have a parade float that looks like the Eldrazi.
I can just picture like BoozCube just going to town and just yelling out Annihilator triggers. Like, it's just what he does.
An animatronic fucking.
I would definitely come to Annihilator triggers.
Yeah, exactly. You would go to Annihilator triggers. Like, it's just I don't know why you're trying to skirt around it. You might as well just condone
it. I wasn't really skirting around it. I wasn't denying it. I was just saying, like, I mean, if you're gonna sack six permanents.
Like, if I had to turn you into a freaking Booze Cube card, you would be Booze Cube the Hymen Torn.
Dude, I already made myself for the last contest as an Eldrazi.
Yeah, well, I was just explaining how I would design your card, all right?
See, I feel like we are all, like, as fucked up as it is, like, we instantly were all on the same page.
Yeah.
Like, right. Like, how, like, let's get some enjoyment out of this in the early day or early hours of the day, and then how bad can we fuck this up, and how much money can we get out of it? Like, that's it. That's really, if you combine all of our answers, that's what it comes down to. It's like, oh, well, yeah, it's Scarlet. We're gonna enjoy this, but then we have to figure out how to make money off of this, and went right to it. So I think that answers that question.
Yeah, no, I think we answered that quite well.
Quite handily.
Yeah, all right. Twitter hole question from our midget here. Which would you rather not have cast at you, Hymn to Turok or Flame Rift? I would much rather not have Hymn to Turok cast at me. I fucking hate that.
Are we talking like okay, number one, I can't remember what either of those cards do.
You don't know what Flame Rift does? You need to turn your burn.
Flame Rift is like your card.
You need to turn your burn badge in.
Flame Rift is not in my burn deck.
It doesn't matter. It's a one red, one colorless.
It didn't fucking make the cut.
It's a legacy burn.
That's why I don't know.
It's one red, one colorless, deals 4 damage to both players.
Hmm. Okay, yeah.
So, and then Hymn to Turok is 2 black, and target player discards 2 cards at random from their hand. So I will go out on a, like, to me this question is just very, very easy. Hymn to Turok is a miserable card to have cast against you. It's never fun, unless, like, for some dumb, weird-ass reason, all you have in your hand is frickin' Loxodon Smiters and the frickin' Air, or whatever it is, the green-white lord from Shadowmoor. It's never a fun card. You're getting rid of 2 cards for their 2 mana, and half the time it's the 2 cards that you are most wanting to keep. You don't have
any
choice in it.
Get lands.
Yeah, yeah, and it can mana screw you. It's just a miserable card. Flame Rift, it deals 4 damage to both players. It's even.
Oh, yeah.
So, like.
And it's fucking life.
Yeah. Hymn to Turok, no question, is. I would much rather have that not cast at me. Yeah, well, you set yourself on fire anyway, so, like, Flame Rift is just what you do before you go to bed.
Like, all right, cool. Well, oh, and you have to take damage, too? Right on.
Exactly. All right, let's see if I can find another one here.
I've got one.
Oh, okay,
cool.
From Jeremiah Munson, where do babies come from? What is a post-Booze Cube baby likely to do as an adult?
Wow, there's some...
Babies come from the butt. and the second half of it was, what is a post booze cube baby?
See, that can be taken in a couple of ways. He might just be referring to Booze Cube's own child, but the way I take it is a baby that was born post game of Booze Cube, which
as a result of a game of Booze Cube, maybe.
Exactly. So those are 2 very different answers. Booze Cube, you can answer the first one, as that is your spawn.
Yeah.
Well, I'd suppose, like, I mean, where do babies come from? You know, it's like when a mother and a, when a man and a woman really love each other, they start fucking.
Yeah. And I didn't mean that part. I meant the what is your spawn do when it's grown up?
What is the most Booze Cube baby likely to do as an adult? The obvious answer is your mom.
Nice. I like that.
All right, and a post Booze Cube baby from playing a game of Booze Cube. It's probably going to be an alcohol. Like, Kevy Metal probably
gonna,
is probably the best.
Probably going to suck its thumb a lot when it's like 25.
which is weird because I was just about to say that you were the best, like, living example of what that might be like.
That's actually very true.
To be fair, though, he still does suck his thumb.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, you probably played more Booze Cube than I have. Mm-hmm.
I think Kevy's played more Booze Cube than anybody has.
It's probably true because I enjoy playing Magic, but I also enjoy drinking so much that it's just like, fuck it, why don't we just do this instead? Like, the majority, like, I'd say 90% of the Magic that I actually get to play, especially because I don't play Modo anymore, 90% of the Magic that I get to play is with my brother-in-law, hanging out, playing casual Magic. And, yes, I do still have that fucking spark inside of me that I'm like, oh, man, let's fucking jam these fucking Modern decks together. Oh, yeah, we've done this a lot of times. We want to just play Booze Cube? And then we're like, oh, we should cube. I've got a cube, too. We could do that. Yeah, that sounds like a good idea. Sometimes we'll do that. Normally we're like, well, why would we do that when we have the Booze Cube? So, yeah, most of the magic that I play is Boost Cube.
I've got some fucking test cards from the next expansion if you want to...
Yeah, send them our way. We'll test them out.
Fuck yes.
All right, so next question. Andre Treiber, I think I'm pronouncing that right. Treiber.
Sounds good to me.
At Like a Fox. Twitter hole question. Who'd win? Mother Goddess... What does the fox say? Who'd win, Mother Goddess Beaver or the Awesome Bear from the California flag?
Son of a bitch.
Hashtag no bias.
No bias, my ass. I've got the fucking badass California fucking bear.
I think even taking the bias out of it, obviously a bear is going to beat the fuck out of a beaver.
Bear versus beaver? Yeah, no question. I've got the fucking, like, if we're talking spirit animal, I got the fucking, the goddamn California bear tattooed on my chest, but he's all mad. He's, like, screaming at people, rawr, instead of just being all, hey, I'm looking to the side, and I'm on a flag, like, gangster-ass bear.
I just got to take it down to the animal.
Angry beavers.
The beaver's not good enough to put on a flag, so, like... Obviously, the bear is got something else going on for
flag,
it.
Though.
What?
I would like to see a beaver on a flag.
Isn't there?
I wasn't saying I wouldn't. I'm just saying, obviously, their mother goddess, the beaver, is not badass enough to put on
the Oregon flag.
Well, that's not the mother goddess Canadian beaver.
Well, I also feel like the mother goddess beaver is probably a little different than the beavers we're thinking about. I feel like it's like fucking...
Well, obviously it's a mother goddess beaver, but...
I feel like, God, what the hell is the name of that fucking... The Hindu god fucking... not Krishna, fucking... God damn it, what's it called? The fucking, like, six-armed elephant thing. That's the way...
The Hindu...
Ganesha.
Oh, yeah.
That's the way I picture Maddie when he says the mother goddess beaver. I feel like it's got to be something like that. It's got to be like a fucking six-titted fucking beaver that's just blowing maple syrup out.
No, it's yellow nectar.
It may be pee. It may be maple syrup. We don't know. Like, we've got to have... Like Maddie
will tell us when he gets back from Spirit Quest.
Maddie and JR have to have, and actually Maddie will be able to fucking confirm this shit when he gets back, but I also feel like he's going to be biased and be like, no, I swear it's not pee. I swear it's not pee. It's maple syrup. Shut the fuck up. I don't want to talk about this anymore.
all right, so I think we're in a general consensus that we think the bear would win.
Bear wins!
Boost Cube?
I agree.
Okay. All right, next question. Powerhouse at PHKZ24, and I think I know where this question is stemming from, but it says, if not asked yet, what MTG art would you like to, acquire, and why? and I don't know whether either of you guys saw this going around Twitter, but I guess there is
accusations being thrown at Channel Fireball.
It is not accusations. It is proven that they have this art in their possession.
Not accusations.
This is not accusations. They have stolen art in their possession. Now, it's not clear as to how they got it in their possession, whether they knew it was stolen when they acquired it, so on and so forth. But what is proven is that it is in their possession, and the artist has made every attempt that, I think it's a she, can to get the...
Amy Weber?
Yes. Yeah, she's made every attempt, and now she's just going grassroots and just blasting it all over the place, which, you know, obviously with our history...
I did see that certain fucking magic company's public response to that.
Oh, I didn't.
It was on Reddit, which, who knows, but it was on Reddit, but it was like... their like a link or a copy paste of their public response to this, where basically their story is that they received this artwork, they bought this artwork, whatever, and they were trying to trace its authenticity by reaching out to the artist. When they found out it was stolen, they asked her to produce some sort of proof, reasonable proof of it being reported stolen, whether it be insurance records, police reports, something or other, and have received nothing in the process from her. So they've decided to do the right thing and turn it over to authorities until this matter is resolved.
Weird. They decided that after she posted all this shit all over the place.
Which cracks me up. because she couldn't come up with proof, or because she hadn't come up with proof, that they were going to go ahead and just turn it over to the authorities.
Yeah.
I'm not going to touch it.
Yeah, exactly.
With a 1 foot pole. I want to touch this with a 10 foot pole and beat the shit out of it, but I'm only going to touch it with a 1 foot pole. You know what? Karma's a bitch.
So, wait, we got to interrupt here. Remand is officially in.
Oh wow.
Remand. Okay. Is it the dual deck art, or is it the original art?
I'm not sure.
Let me look. It's the new art, or it's new art entirely?
New art.
Really? Ooh. That is intriguing. Let me see if it's on
Mythic Spoiler.
That's the new art. That's the dual deck art. That's the dual deck art.
Oh, okay.
You know, I'm excited though because I like that art a lot more, but now I can get it in foil. So that makes Little Gumby a little stiff, not gonna lie.
Little Gumby, a little stiff.
Yeah, Little Gumby's a little stiff over that in the thought of foil remand.
We got remand.
Yeah, that's
that was a perfect little fucking stumble point for me to not go off the deep end on the pole touching.
Which is weird because I was just about ready to comment more on that. Like, obviously we have history, you know, our guest that was on here has some interesting history with that company, and you know, basically,
the irony in this room is so thick that I could fuck it.
That I'm having trouble forming words because I'm having difficulty getting around the irony. So anyway, that being said, art?
I'm choking. Oh, it's irony. It's stuck in my throat.
That's what I call my little Gumby sometimes.
Yeah, your dick. I know. I get it. And I'm joking.
No. To go back to the actual question though, since I feel like we should answer this guy's question.
Answer the question. Although that was obviously a setup for us to maybe bring that up.
Yeah, nicely done.
Don't go too far into it.
Yeah, I think the arts. I mean, obviously you want to go to your favorite cards. So like to me, it would be like Baleful Strix or Purphoros.
That's a good one. That not just so much as the favorite card thing, but like the artwork for Baleful Strix is fucking amazing.
Well, yeah, I'm picking my favorite cards that have awesome art, like Purphoros, Vengevine. I love the art for Vengevine. Love the card. So.
But no, what I'm getting at is like you like Vengevine and Purphoros, great for your like if you had the original art for it, like great in your Magic room or like something involving it. Like Baleful Strix is fucking sweet. It's like this fucking gnarly ass fucking mechanical owl. You could put that up fucking anywhere.
Yeah. I think
it's not a big dude coming out of a mountain, you know. That, like,
yeah, but Vengevine just looks like crazy plant thing, so that thing's cool too. So either way, those are my top picks. What about you guys? I mean, Booze Cube's probably Emrakul, Kozilek, or Ulamog.
Well,
or All Is Dust. All Is Dust?
Can I get it in 3D and can I fuck it?
Right now, I've got a wall in my office that I am acquiring prints of cards from 12 Post. So far, I've already got All Is Dust, Emrakul, and Kozilek is my next acquisition.
Yes, but these are the originals. If you wanted
All Is Dust,
yeah,
no question.
All right, there we go. So I nailed it once I thought about it deeper.
Or a 3D print version of Emrakul so that you can fuck it in the ladder.
Now, that's not original art, but yeah, that's what he would do.
Yeah, I mean, I could just make a. I mean, I could just commission a fucking dildo, I'm sure. Like,
it'd be a lot more than one.
Well, I mean, it'd be like 1,000. I mean, if you were gonna do like sort of a proportional thing, I mean, there's a fleshy lattice that.
I feel like you could probably substitute the fleshy lattice from like Home Depot. You just get your fucking vinyl lattice or your wood lattice.
Well, it's got to be like. I mean, there's got to be so many different holes. Like, I mean.
So many different sizes and shapes.
I mean, it's like, I mean, you can fuck one hole one day, you can fuck another hole another day.
Leave shit in there. It's like a cubby hole, like the ones you're not banging, you can leave your keys in there and fucking just like, oh man, hopefully I don't forget those later. But they're in
a
place.
You may make a mess on your keys if you forget.
You can check your bag in one of them.
All right, so Kevy, what's your art that you would... Cough, cough,
my
acquire.
Art, like I would my favorite artwork from Magic altogether is Deathmark. The one with the eyeball.
Oh, I keep meaning to. I have like a playset of foil ones.
I do too.
Oh, all right. Then never mind. I'll keep mine.
I very much appreciate it, but like once I really locked in on the fact that that is my favorite artwork of all time, I have a playset of the foil death marks with the eye. I have a playset of the regular death marks with the eye. I have a foil. Because the other thing about that card is, God damn it, I want it to be good because I love the artwork. Like even the other artwork, the fucking the snowflake thing in blood. Like I have a foil one of those and I have a playset of those. I love the artwork for the green eye with the fucking skull, the swamp symbols in it is just, it blows me away. It's fucking amazing. But even at that, like the other fucking artwork for it is like one of my other favorite artworks.
That's like the red snowflake, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like a little bloody, or it's like a spot of blood in the snow, but it makes like a snowflake. It's fucking awesome. Like, just, I don't know. It's one of those things I don't even want to get into, like, why I like it. It's just amazing. But I would have to say 100% fucking Deathmark. The original fucking art for Deathmark would be...
The eye one, though.
The eye one.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. I think I have...
Quick tip. Everybody else in the whole fucking world, for some reason, seems to think, like, there's some weird upside-down shit going on with the skull, like, it's not right. But it's, like, you have to look at the artwork and realize that it's upside... Like, the eye is upside-down to start with. Think about that the next time you look at the fucking artwork.
There you go. Heard it from the man. I think I have, like, two more questions, and that's it. I don't know whether you guys have any more. Some of these are very...
I've not even tried to look at Twitter.
Like, yeah, I'm having difficulty. That's why I just kind of like...
I am trying my damnedest to get as drunk as I can before this fucking ends.
All right. Wow, now I'm losing them. Where the hell?
See, this is what happens when we don't have like a normal podcaster on as a guest.
If you had to be a cock ring bearer for any elder dragon, old or new, which dragon would it be? And that's from Aaron Tomes at Brinks.
He had a booze cube card that he just
Silumgar's cock ring. Yeah, he wanted to.
Me from Silengar's cock ring.
Yeah. See, I'm going to have to say Atarka, because Atarka's a chick, so that would not be a cock ring, and I would be much more... Yeah, exactly.
Much more comfortable with it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's fair. Like...
I mean, it's still probably not ideal. It's still a giant dragon's vagina, but...
I feel like if I'm going to hang off the end of fucking Elder Dragon's cock, it's going to be fucking Nicol Bolas. it's goddamn Nicol Bolas.
Go big or go home. That's what I said.
Hey, I'd be like, oh, hey, man. Like, I got my own city started here on the end of your cock. Like, you're that big. You're that big of a fucking deal, and you probably don't even give a shit. You've been sitting in the background for so many fucking years in this whole magic fucking multiverse thing, and just recently they brought you back. Some shit's going down with Ugin and all this crap, but basically I could have just fucking hung out, made my own fucking civilization on the end of that guy's dick. Just been like, yo, I'm good. Like, we live in a ring society, that's what we do.
Oh, Booze Cube.
You know, I think I'm also gonna have to go with Nicol Bolas, because you may, based on the artwork, you may not actually have to touch his dick. I mean, he has that little thing suspended between his horns, and maybe that applies to his dick too.
Maybe.
You're trying to game the situation. Jesus.
Yeah, you're thinking outside the box. See, no, David, you were trying to game the situation. You're like, oh, I got a female dragon, ain't no dick, we're good. He's at least trying to make the best out of a shitty situation. If you got to hang off the end of a dragon's cock, it's maybe probably going to be the guy that maybe can suspend a cock ring.
Well, there you go. All right.
All right, what do we got? We got one more?
I thought we had one more. Now I'm having trouble finding it. But before I forget, because I'm getting to that stage in drunkenness, two things. One, I guess just at Nary Nan is having he had one of the worst days of his life. So huge shout out to that guy. He's awesome. He's always contributing.
Luke, we fucking love you.
Yeah, Luke, we we freaking hope the best. We hope your shit turns around real quick. And
that guy's like the Robot Large of the new era. Like,
yeah, yeah, he's
and he is like Robot Large is still a huge fucking fan supporter of ours. Always there for all the shit, but like he was there all the time at the beginning. And like Luke has kind of taken the torch, and yeah. Luke is kind of the guy that he's every fucking week. He's trying to figure this shit out. He's like, he'll look at tweets that we say, and he's just like, oh, man, you guys got this going on. You guys got that going on. All right. And he, like, he's just always there.
Yeah,
always.
He's a huge, huge part of the SVU. He's always yes. interacting with everybody, helping out.
And he was fucking awesome while I was in Portland. That motherfucker, like, got me to the airport.
Yeah, yeah. And he's always asking great questions and whatnot. So huge shout out to Luke.
Absolutely.
I really hope your stuff turns around fast. And if you need anything, not just me, all the SVU, you can, you know, hit us up. If you don't want it to be public, obviously you can send us messages. If you need to talk, we're here. That's basically what the SVU is here for. You know, first and foremost, we're just a community that, you know, are centered around this game and this podcast, but we've all just turned into friends and family. And so if you need us, we're here. So I wanted to get that out before I forgot. And then the other thing is, Creature Mystery at Death Rate Magus really wanted to talk about the charity and the all that stuff that's going to be going on in Vegas. I just want to bring it up and get it out there and into people's you know, attention, consciousness, whatever you want to say. We're going to get in more depth. Like, maybe we'll have him on to
We're actually hate to have to break into this in the middle of what you're saying on the cast, but I was talking to him today. He's going to be on next week.
Yeah, okay. And that's kind of what I had told him. Was I hadn't talked to you guys yet, but I said, you know, this episode's not great because we're going to have like five people on, and you know, we've got a lot going on, and so maybe next week we can get them on to actually talk about, you know, details and everything much more in depth. But either way, I told him, you know, give a shout out.
Definitely
keep that in your mind. There's going to be awesome prizes and trophies and whatnot. And
You're keeping that in your mind, like, this dude is going to do some amazing shit for charity. He's already done some amazing shit for charity. I've seen him do it before. But he was also one of the guys banging his cock on the table with me in Portland. So he fits right in with us. It's like, you know what? We fucking love you guys, but we will also show you our cocks.
up until that last part, I was going to say that Kevy interrupted me and finished my sentence, but he kept going after my sentence would have ended. So
yeah, your sentence probably should have ended at some point before the hour cocks part.
Yes.
Yeah, I was just going to shout that dude out for helping me set up streaming.
Oh, right on. Like, yeah. See, this motherfucker is multi-talented. He's all, I got charity, I got streaming, I got cocks on tables, I do fucking everything. Like, this dude is gangster, and he's been deserving of being on the fucking podcast as a guest for a long time, but we've just trying to find the right way for it. And when I talked to him today, like, next week is probably the best week for it, because we got all sorts of fucking Vegas hype for you guys, because it's getting close.
Yeah, I think next week should probably be the one where we try and get the big players on the podcast and really get not just the hype going, because I don't think we need to do that, because people are already freaking hyped for this. But we can get the people that really have the inside knowledge and the organization on the cast, and we can you know, divulge all of that to everybody, and we'll be a little bit better.
Get everybody involved on this.
Exactly. So I don't know. Do either of you guys have anything else that needs to be said?
Of course. Go fuck yourself, San Diego! That's gonna be the best outro music ever. I swear to God, if I could have fucking tracked all three of us doing the vocals for that and just had an acapella fucking
that'd be
oh, dude,
so
fun. Fucking sweet.
All right, guys.
Well, holy shit, fellas.
That felt successful.
That feels like we might be able to run a podcast, like if in a pinch.
Yeah. Yeah, for short amounts of time, unsupervised, we can not burn the house down.
Exactly. It's exactly what we got going on right now. It's like we're seriously like children being tempted to fucking light fires, but being like, oh, well, when Dad gets home, he's going to be fucking pissed.
So I've got fucking friends that are coming to Vegas that I'm trying to convince to actually have fun.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want to?
Invite them to the fucking party.
Oh, fuck yes. We'll invite the shit out of them to the party.
Yeah,
send them our way.
Booth.
They're what?
They're doing a fucking booth.
For who? What company?
The Meadery.
Oh, the Meadery? Yo, dude, I recognize that shit from, like, whatever they've got going on there. Like, I don't know anything about the store. I don't know anything about, like, the site that they have. But it's I see it all over the place, and everything I see from it is fucking awesome. And
they're cool as shit.
Yeah, like, I know that they're cool as shit with knowing nothing about them. I think they're cool-ass fucking people, so I will invite the shit out of them.
Yeah, seriously, like, go up to them and be like, and tell them I fucking said to come.
I'm all, BoozCube said you have to go. Like, Scott flat-out told me, he's like, if I don't pick you up and throw you over my shoulder, take you back to the house, then he's going to have some shit to say to you when you get back home. And that's a good icebreaker, I think.
Yeah, like, I know all the guys that are going are fucking cool as shit. And, like, I can't go, but, yeah.
Dude, I'm really bummed that you can't be there.
It sucks, dude.
But at least I can say, like, and I mean, this is probably not much consolation, but at least I can say, I got to meet you there last time. Like, I got to actually spend time with you.
Hopefully, the fucking next GP Vegas will not be on my fucking wife's birthday.
Yeah, shit.
Like,
it's such dude, and there's been so many of those, like, not, you know, aside from the whole, like, you know, me kind of bitching out on a lot of fucking tournaments and going to GPs with David and shit like that, like, there's that whole I've thought about going to a few of them, I've tried to, but it's always something's happening. Like, I remember I was like, all right, I'm really gonna try to make it to fucking Canada, go to like GP Toronto. Must have been last year or the year before. Ended up on my son's birthday. I'm like, yeah, no, I can't do that.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh, cool. Like, I want to make this one. Oh, no, I can't do that because this is happening. Like, David, are you banging right now? You didn't answer. That means he is.
Gotta go.
Oh, that's gotta go in the outro. I can't even like begin to have a better outro than that. We don't need fucking exit music. We need David Huffin. That's fucking sweet.
Bounce to bounce.
Oh, if I were better at editing, I would just leave it in there. Oh god. Alright, motherfuckers. I'm out of here. All right. Oh, I gotta go get drunk more. Thanks, Scott, for being here, man. I appreciate it. Dave, have fun. Tú estás muy bonita. Hey baby, you sure look mighty fine when you walk my way. Say lady, I sure wish there was something I could say. That booty, I truly wish that I could speak your language. Cause I really don't know how to explain it. Oh, bonita, tú tienes el grande nalgas. Oh, bonita, tú tienes el grande nalgas. So manish, the thoughts that goes and stops inside my head. My Spanish, so bad I don't know what the fuck I said. Excuse me, señorita, I'm just trying to find the words to let you know I like the way your booty curves. Oh, bonita, tú tienes el grande nalgas. Oh, bonita, tú tienes el grande nalgas. Thank you.
es el plan de nalgas. So authentic, the way you move those hips when the music plays, all authentic. I'll groove if I could be with you today. No complaint, it's all I get when I ask you to dance. I really wanna feel what's in them pants, girl. Oh, bonita, tú tienes el grande nalgas.
Ay, 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 you do, baby.
Oh, bonita, tú tienes el grande nalgas.
Oh, 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 yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, bonita, tú tienes el grande nalgas.
Yeah, yeah, you do, baby.
Oh, bonita, tú tienes el grande nalgas.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Oh, bonita, tú tienes el grande nalgas. Oh, bonita, tú tienes el grande nalgas.
Ay,
ay, ay, I love to look at your nalgas. To take a grab, to get it around and squish it in my hands. You make me want to do the hoochie-coochie with you, girl. Ay, ay, ay.